Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here,
it's shipped from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh my God.
It's code. You should watch Law and Order. Horses, heroin, grass, marijuana. The horse likes to run around on the grass. The heroin likes to run around on the marijuana. Wine, alcohol, like beer or wine. Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, as it probably is where you are, too. I think even in Australia, it's Tuesday. I think.
It's just the two of us, Fred.
Yeah. Anyway, guys will be here soon. You know, upstairs, we had a little internet problem today in the side of the stadium where the admin offices are. So, of course, everybody's sitting around. They don't know what the hell to do. You know, they get their thumbs up their ass because, you know, the internet's out. So the internet's out, email's out, nobody can do anything. You know, technology fails and, you know, the world comes crashing to a halt, which kind of tells you how much we're dependent on that stuff these days. But the show will go on. Thankfully, we're on a separate T1 down here. So no problems.
We're not going straight to podcast?
No, no.
Because I thought this would be the show we'd show nudity. You know how those movies that go straight to DVD tend to have more nudity in them? The sequels?
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, like Wild Things 2,
yeah,
much dirtier.
I don't think anyone wants to see nudity on this show.
Wait, what? Much dirtier than Wild Things?
Well, Paul had actually volunteered
to
do all
intrigued.
The nude scenes because he thought it was good for his art. You know,
yeah.
You need to show a little nipple.
Well, I apologize for being a little bit tardy. It was urgent business.
Oh, yeah?
Jonathan needed something.
Oh, from you?
Actually, no. But it doesn't really matter to me when I find out Jonathan needs something. That is my priority.
And he didn't get what he wanted.
Not yet.
What was he looking for?
Don't worry about it.
Can we say?
No.
Oh. Well, speaking of artists, Eric isn't here. He had a little thing he had to take care of.
Yes.
Suddenly. So he won't be here today. But, you know, that doesn't mean we can't make fun of him.
I have no formal artistic training.
So... We all watched the college basketball last night. Congratulations to UConn, one of our New England states, out of Storrs, Connecticut. They won, and Jim Calhoun, a former Northeastern head coach.
That's right, number three.
So that was good. It was a terrible game.
And terrible
awful
hats.
Game.
Did you see the hats they had on with that big number one?
No, as soon as the game,
on one side?
The second the game was over, I turned off the TV.
It says, like, UConn in little letters, and then literally, like, the size of the whole front of the hat says number and one and...
Just an awful, awful game.
It's like one of those hats you buy in the souvenir stores, you know.
Yeah,
number one
it is.
Dad.
Ten hats for three bucks. I mean, right. Three hats for $10 or something.
Well,
Yeah, I saw a headline. You know how Darren Rovell, he asked people for headline ideas immediately after events.
Right.
And some guy tweeted, Butler tries to shoot self in foot, misses.
Well, he had a tweet this morning, too, saying that he just woke up after remembering the clang over.
The clang over. Yeah.
It was really bad. I actually thought the rims seemed a little weird.
Well, they were loud.
Yeah. And it made me think that they were like, obviously, it's a football facility, so they bring in these, they don't have them there year-round.
And that's a problem, by the way. And I know that they talk about that a lot in those basketball games, but that's an issue that a lot of players talk about. It's tough to get the depth in a football stadium when they're trying to shoot. Yeah. Now, the only thing about that is
when you're 2 inches away, like Smith was, there's nothing to do with depth.
He's been ripping that guy all morning.
This poor kid, Andrew Smith from Butler, is Fred.
What does he know?
Freddie's public enemy number one, but
did you have money on Butler?
They did play on Saturday, and they found a way.
No, I know.
You know, most of the teams found a way to shoot reasonably well. Certainly not 18% the way Butler did last night.
Well, the reason I kind of bring up the basketball, it kind of makes me pine that much more for off-season football and free agency and all that stuff, and it makes me miss football even that much more. I know we've got
so you've been watching the Arena League on NFL Network.
Hell no.
That's football.
No. Barely. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. We tried to bail out Mike Vrabel. I'm sure he posted his $600 bond after being arrested for a misunderstanding at an Indiana casino. That was the breaking Patriots news. Well, not really Patriots news, but semi-Patriots news yesterday.
Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
Screw the misunderstanding part. Yeah. It was felony theft.
Yeah, I'm
because if someone else did it, if Corey Dillon or Randy Moss was arrested, we'd laugh out loud when they said it was a misunderstanding and a miscommunication. So you know what? I'm laughing out loud at Mike Vrabel. You got arrested.
I think that it's probably sounds worse than it was, and I can definitely see Mike Vrabel, thinking whoever he worked was, the worker he took the beers from, you're an a-hole, and the worker saying that he's an a-hole, but it was at some deli at a casino, and I'm sure it was Mike Vrabel being, the obstinate Mike Vrabel.
Not the guy who's going to be wearing a suit and sitting in front of a federal judge as one of the 10 plaintiffs in a huge lawsuit.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's not a big deal, but it is kind of funny.
It's bad PR.
Sure it is. Yeah. And like I said this morning, we were sitting around talking about it. The longer this whole lockout thing gets protracted and all that stuff, the more these guys are going to get in trouble.
And the more there'll be real issues, not just.
The one thing that these guys don't need is free time. It's not good. It doesn't mix. And so.
There's a lot of guys with a lot of time right
now.
Yeah.
And, what they say, what do they say about the. Idle is the devil's handiwork.
Yes.
Idle hands are the devil's playground or something like that. Workshop. I don't know. But you get the gist.
Perfume.
Yes, I get
perfume on a pig.
Something of that ilk.
Did you see the photo that came out this morning from Kerry Rhodes?
No.
Tweeted a photo of him and the MVP Tom Brady working out together this morning.
Really? Kerry Rhodes. Okay. All right.
And Brady, as he's continued his streak for me, looks gayer every picture I see him in.
Still with the long hair?
But it's even worse now because it's usually either in a hat or something, and then there's just little, straggly wisps hanging out. I hate it.
Now what is it?
Now, it's a similar
he's
version.
Full-blown
he has
Jesus
something
now?
On. No, I'd rather he go that direction.
Yeah.
Because to me, he's now, managing it with scrunchies and ties and hats and. Just go that way. Go Kevin Green or one of those guys where it's down to the middle of your back.
If he starts, a lot of the soccer players wear that little string.
He does that. He has done that.
He's wearing the string.
He's had one of those on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
At Carnival.
Yes.
I don't mean it just around the ponytail.
No. He had it around the front.
The
whole thing.
Oh, God.
Like a real tiny headband.
Sasha Vujicic.
Yeah, it's like a string.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's awful.
It is.
That's just poor to me.
Can he just shave his head?
Yeah. Can't,
the plugs won't fall out.
Dan Copen or somebody take him aside and say,
I'm sure they have.
This isn't right.
But now they need to really just take it into their own hands. Hold him down as a prank and shave his head.
Yeah.
Like he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Prove to the rookies that we're all the same here.
Yeah.
The MVP down to you, we're going to shave his head.
Jeez.
Imagine that. That'd be a great story.
I mean, it's not even like he's playing a part in a movie or something that he has to grow his hair for. This is, I guess, free will.
If you believe him, it's because it's G's will.
Yeah, but can't you have long hair and have it look
good?
Semi, like what's his name? Ryan Matthews. Clay Matthews has
Ryan Matthews. Who's running Ryan back, Matthews? Running back, Chargers.
Clay Matthews
does not have long hair.
Clay Matthews has the long hair, but he looks like a Viking. You know, it's like manly long hair.
Well, Brady's not going to look like that. He's not 265 pounds of muscle.
He's Samson long hair. You know.
I mean, he's going to be a skinny guy with long or short hair.
What's that, Paul? Paul's shaking his head.
Now he has distinctions between long hair. Some's manly long hair, and others is just, you know, straggly.
Right, right. It's true.
But it has nothing to do with the hair. It's the rest of the body that carries it.
I don't think Clay Matthews' hair looks good.
Doesn't look good, but it's more manly. Just like Kevin Green's was more manly, because he was 6'4", 265 pounds, and looked like he would kick your ass.
Right.
Brady looks like he's 220 pounds and looked like you could kick his ass.
Yeah,
I couldn't, because I've seen him throw a right punch.
I agree with Andy's reasoning that no one would make fun of those guys because they would kill you. Because Brady doesn't have that look.
Right. He's seen as a metro.
All right, so what else we have? Any draft news? Any new Nolan Milwaukee? Has he insulted anyone lately?
No, he's actually going to appear in our publication.
Yeah.
I've shared emails with him. He seems to be quite the nice man.
I actually have heard him, you know, he's been going around defending what he did, and I've heard Warren Moon. Warren Moon came out and thought it smacked of racism and that he knows what it is because I've been through it. And so, you know, and I heard
Warren. Did you think that was the case?
No, I think it was, I think what Nolan Milwaukee was kind of saying is what a lot of people thought would be, you know, the knock on Cam Newton, but I think he went overboard.
He did.
You know?
And I think he crossed the line from reality to...
No. I don't, but I don't think
it was sensationalism, not racism.
I don't blame Warren Moon for thinking it was. I don't blame him for thinking it was.
What does he know?
See, the same criticism I'd have of Nolan Milwaukee for claiming that he knows what Cam Newton is all about, how does Warren Moon know what Nolan Milwaukee's
but,
all
but,
about.
And by the
but
way, why isn't it racism for all the criticism of Brian Mallett?
But what Warren Moon is
same
saying,
criticisms.
But what Warren Moon is saying is, he's saying, and I know we're going to get into this argument again, to him, it feels like that. And I don't blame him for having his radar up like that. Yeah. You know, I don't blame him for that.
I don't think it helps.
He might be wrong, but I don't blame him for
that. Because Ryan Mallett is getting skewered just as much. He's not as high a profile.
Right.
So it doesn't matter
Tim
as
Tebow
much.
Tebow got skewered last year.
Well,
you know.
But Mallett's is drugs, leadership, attitude, you know, some of the same issues that are being accused of Newton.
Well, Newton has nothing to do with drugs, does it?
Not publicly.
Really?
I've heard rumors in his past.
PED-type drugs?
No.
Or other really? Like marijuana?
No.
No?
Higher up the chain.
Really?
Yes.
That's not good.
I've heard rumors. What do you want me to say? I've heard rumors.
Coke?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard that either.
Rumors of it. Rampant.
Yeah. Well,
rumors.
I mean...
Not rampant use, rampant rumors.
Not purple drank?
No.
But
my issue is, some of the stuff I thought Naraki said was just stupid, just wrong.
Well, we just don't know, and how could he know? I mean, you know...
Other issue is... People, I saw all this stuff. Well, we'll find out in 4 years if he was right. No, we won't. Because he could fail miserably because he can't read a defense, doesn't have the mind or the football IQ to read a defense, and can't get away with his athleticism. It may have nothing to do with all the other off-field stuff that Naraki thinks is a problem. So you don't necessarily, if he's good or bad, you won't know the results. You know what I mean? He could fail for a million reasons, not just the five that Naraki went crazy over.
Well, but if he does fail because, you know, he turns out to be a bad locker room guy, I guess it does prove that he's right.
Right.
But
what if he just fails because he flat out can't do it? He sees his first read, it's covered, he runs, he gets hit, it doesn't work in the
NFL. But Warren Moon made the same, you know, and I listened to the interview he made on the one he did on Sirius. He made the exact same point you made. You know, first of all, Warren Moon's actually worked with him lately, you know.
Newton.
Yeah. So he kind of knows him a little bit better than most people. But he also made the same point you did. He's won everywhere he's gone. He can't be that bad a person and lack that type of leadership and risen to that type of level in terms of wins and losses.
Yeah, I think it's impossible to go to two teams in 2 years and win a national title if everybody on those teams or big chunks of those teams hate you.
And he won in high school, too.
Think you're only for you, like... I don't think that's possible. I think it's too hard to win in major college football that way. Maybe at a low-level community college you could, you know, just carry the team, but...
Yeah, it's very easy to, you know, say, you know, because of what his dad did and, you know, maybe, you know, he comes off a little bit cocky to jump to the conclusion that Milwaukee jump to, but I think he went overboard with it. He really did. It looked like, you know, and I said it at the time, he's looking to sell publications.
Yeah, it definitely feels like sensationalism. You know? No doubt in my mind that they were looking to create a buzz, and it worked.
And it worked.
And good for them.
It worked. You know? So.
No, well. The winning part,
winning.
It's fact, not opinion, as you know, Felge likes to say.
About opinions.
You can't. I don't think you can possibly say that the guy will be unable to win over a locker room when the facts state completely the opposite.
I mean, have we...
You can say all the other stuff, that maybe it's a plastic smile and a phony persona.
Right.
And he's a phony. Opinion. Okay.
Right.
I think it's still a little bit ridiculous, but the part about him not being able to lead a team...
Right.
...has been proven factually incorrect.
And you would think by now, even if it was anonymously, that there would be players coming out and saying, you know, he was a bad guy.
Right.
By now.
And you don't see any of that.
You know? And trust me, these assistant coaches and head coaches, they have a reputation too. And, you know, they want their word to have, you know, credibility. So if he was such a bad guy, they wouldn't come out as strongly in his defense as they have. So... I just think that Milwaukee went overboard with, you know, sort of the rumblings that we all kind of fear about this guy, but have no basis for fact. And he went and wrote them as fact, and I think that was wrong, and I think that was where the backlash was with him. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, everyone's got him going from either the number one overall pick to, you know, as far down as 10. I think John Elway said he sees him as going number one. He can't imagine him not going number one. Sometimes
he really said that.
Somebody said that. I thought it was Elway, but maybe I'm wrong. And a lot of guys say that just to, you know, pump up a guy they're not interested in.
No, but it's interesting for a team president to go on the record and say this early in a draft where it's not cut and dry. It's not obvious.
Yeah.
That he expects a guy to win.
Strippers, you might be able to, you know, find out that quote, but I believe it was Elway who said he can't imagine Newton not going number one. It might have been somebody else, but it was somebody high up in a team that said that.
I have, we do our draft debate, Fred, in the paper, the upcoming issue of Patriots Football Weekly, the draft preview issue, which will be on newsstands next week. We get some experts together and ask them basically the similar questions about a variety of topics, and then compare their answers, make it into a little debate format. And I asked, one of the questions I asked was, finish this sentence, in 3 years, Cam Newton will be ... And I got the first response from our friend Rob Rang at NFL Draft Scout, and based on that, we're going to get some interesting answers. It's because he's a hot-button guy, and his answer, I just want to tease it, I'm not going to say it on the show, but by PFW next week for an interesting answer on Cam Newton.
And I also saw that, who was it, another... website, it might have been Tim Graham, who's the AFC East guy for ESPN, did a listener or / reader mock draft. So they stole our idea.
That was yesterday, by the way.
Yeah.
No. The PFW in Progress one I participated in. I selected AJ Green. What was just dangling from your face and fell off? It was a line of drool or something, like 6 inches long.
Nice.
Wasn't a piece of tuna or lettuce?
I participated and took A.J. Green for the Bengals at number 4 overall. It's still ongoing, the draft, because, you know, people in different time zones and
right.
stuff. And
right.
I don't know what they're up to exactly. They're still in the top 10.
Would you be happy if that's who the Patriots ended up with?
I'm getting more and more intrigued by A.J. Green, I got to tell you.
He's great, but I would still be worried that they'd have the number one offense in the NFL and a sucky defense with no pass rush and lose. So... I don't know how I'd feel. If they don't get an outside linebacker, a guy like A.J. Green would be my next best choice because, okay, you didn't fill your need, but you got a guy that I think can be absolutely
great. Get the best value on the board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he won't be on the board at 17. 0.0% chance that he fell to 17. No way in hell. They could find out he plays with two prosthetic legs and he would go before 17.
Okay. All right. Paul, what are you doing?
Right,
you're writing a lot of things down over there.
I'm doing something. Don't worry about it.
Oh, is this for somebody else?
For Jonathan.
Oh.
Do it for your father. For your father.
Okay. So does he know that you're supposed to be on the radio right now and not doing work?
Only Fred could spin this as a bad thing.
Jonathan didn't actually ask Paul. He asked somebody else who was incapable of getting it, so that person went to Paul. As usual, we're the brains and the workforce of this operation, but we get none of the credit. There's always somebody else to take the credit in between.
Wow. All right.
Fact, not opinion.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
Andy, do you know how to figure out the rotation of the rotating games, so to speak, if they're home or away? You know, the games that line up by position. So first place in the division that you put, you don't know how to figure that one out either? It's tough. Toughy.
All right.
Just in case Patriots fans weren't aware, for a short time period, it seemed Robert Quinn was on Twitter, but it was a fake.
Oh, was it?
Yes. Ended up being a little fat kid, high school kid from North Carolina somewhere. I was led astray, as I said, by what I once was, a fat kid.
All in for Quinn? Is that still the saying?
Want to win? Draft Quinn. I don't know.
All right.
There's plenty of them. It's a good name to rhyme with. Quinn rhymes with win. Quinning!
All right.
To steal from...
Right.
The guy who may or may not any longer be.
Well, lunch today is made possible, as it is always every Tuesday, by the world's most interesting Patriots fan, James Pettigrew. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And I saw a tweet from one of our longtime listeners, Lucky, over in Western Mass, who was wondering about an iPad app for the Patriots. And I promise everyone out there who has an iPad or any type of Android tablet, we are coming out with something by the beginning of the season that's just going to blow you away.
I'd edit that and just take away. Away. Kevin, it will blow you.
You know, for now, the current Patriots app.
Come on, an iPad that could do that? You're going to tell me that thing wouldn't fly off store shelves?
The current Patriots app will work on an iPad, but this thing is going to be...
Designed specifically for the technology?
Specifically for, and it's going to be awesome.
So. Awesome. So you don't need Flash for it,
yeah.
I assume. So, how do you get around that? Don't we use Flash on our website?
We won't as of May 9th.
Oh, did you just let another...
Well, it might... all of Patriots.com is transitioning over to the NFL platform at the beginning of May. So it'll be a brand new website starting at around May 10th or 11th.
Interesting.
So
a Mother's Day present for all the mothers out there listening?
Yeah, so it'll be cool. We think it's going to be better. It's going to give us... a lot more ability than we've had, and I don't think we're going to lose anything. So,
lots of room for Chris Ferreira era.
So that'll be about May 10th is when we're going to be launching the brand new Patriots.com. So,
sweet.
Excited about that.
We're all thrilled.
We needed to wait till after the draft, though. We can't.
Yeah, we can't F up on draft.
We can't. We can't risk anything.
It's too big of a time.
Luckily, after the draft, there shouldn't be much going on, so no one will notice.
Well, I just hope that they get their act together and, you know,
big day tomorrow.
The last thing I read yesterday was the NFLPA accused the league of NFLPA said they were willing to meet last week and the league turned them down, and then of course now there's some nuance in what did that mean? What were they meeting about? You know, the league wasn't interested in meeting about settling what they have in court, you know.
And is that in any way a trap?
It could be.
By asking the NFLPA to meet, well,
right.
You're the NFLPA.
Right.
I thought you weren't the NFLPA. You just
right.
said you're the NFLPA.
Right. So that's the problem with once something goes into litigation, now you're limited to what you do. Everything, in other words, can be used against you in the court of law. So that's the problem is once you started down the litigation road, and that's why the league was so pissed off when the union did that. So I don't know. I just hope, you know, April 6th is tomorrow. That's a big day in court, although it just starts it. You know, the actual findings of the case could be a week, a month later.
Yeah, everybody's saying it's more like April 16th
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, so 6th. So it's, you know, and again, like I started the show off, just watching the basketball is, you know, I was excited for the game, but it was a poor game, and it just made me wish I had something else in addition to that to pay attention to these days. And
you got the Red Sox.
Yeah, speaking of them, bad weekend for the Red Sox.
Good weekend for Freddie.
No.
Came in giddy.
Listen to me.
0-3.
I prefer the Red Sox to win. It makes my life more interesting when they win.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
You know, I want them to win. I want them to get into the playoffs.
Well, how does it make your life more interesting?
Something, again, something to, you know, watch.
But you root against them.
I do not. I do not. Screw
you,
the Sox.
You
Let's
do.
Talk some football.
You guys are jerks.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
Yeah, you don't like it when the truth is out there?
I do not.
I do have to admit, I was watching opening day, and, you know, for people that don't know, and I know a lot of people that listen to us don't really like the Red Sox, but...
Like Fred.
There was unbelievable optimism around this team heading into the season, and the Boston Herald even had their season preview on the cover, best team ever. Best team ever.
I didn't see that.
What?
Yeah, and it meant Red Sox, best Red Sox team ever. But still, without having played a game, pretty foolish. And I do have to admit, even though I'm a Boston fan, I like all the Boston teams.
You were rooting against them.
No, I wasn't. After they had lost, I was kind of like giggling to myself, and I immediately wanted to tweet, well... I guess it's going to have to be 161-1, but then I thought that probably is going to sound a little bit kind of like Fred, that I was rooting against them. And coming from a Patriots employee, maybe that wouldn't look good.
I said before the season started the pitching's going to be their downfall. I think they've overrated this pitching staff. I think Beckett is not good long term. Papelbon is done. Wakefield's 50 years old. I think Lester and Buchholz are fine pitchers, but neither of them are aces. They're not number ones. And I think they're lacking in the pitching department. I think otherwise, they're going to be good. Their runs per game are going to be up there with the tops in the league, but they're going to lose a lot of 12-10 games. That's just my feeling.
Well, I think you're wrong about that. I think they probably have one of the two or three best pitching staffs in baseball. I agree with your assessment. They maybe really don't have a bona fide ace. They don't have one guy that the other team says, all right, we missed.
Right.
We missed Felix Hernandez on that three-game series, or we didn't have to face Cliff Lee or Tim Lincecum. They don't have one of those guys. Lester is a very, very good pitcher, and he is a number one pitcher. He's not an ace at that level.
Yeah.
A lot of people think he is.
Yeah, and I don't know.
A lot of people have him listed as their favorite for the Cy Young this year. Maybe he'll turn out to be that. I haven't seen that guy yet.
Paula Ebbett with a really low-cut shirt on today. But, yeah.
Even hot people distract
him. Can you bring your creepiness to any higher of a level?
Anyway, keep going, Paul.
Oh, shoot. I think that you're grossly underestimating the pitching staff as a whole.
No, and you know Major League Baseball a hell of a lot more than I do. I don't really keep track of any team except the Red Sox.
But you're making these comments about the pitchers.
Yet you just gave a scouting report on every pitcher.
Right. But I do pay attention.
Tim Wakefield. He's the 12th pitcher on the team.
I know, but
he's only on the team for ceremonial purposes.
But he ends up every year pitching a hell of a lot more than you expect him to.
Well, he pitched less last year than they expected him to.
You know,
hold that against him.
You know, the thing,
because somebody's going to have to do those jobs.
Absolutely.
Guys are going to get hurt. You're going to need fill-in starters. You're going to need long relief. So somebody has to
fill
those.
And maybe, you know, I'm comparing pitching with when I used to really be into baseball, and maybe it isn't as good as it used to be.
It isn't.
You know? Maybe there aren't as many good pitchers in the league.
There's very few legit aces.
And maybe
on average, ERAs are higher. It's not as good.
And maybe compared to them, the Red Sox pitching is not that bad.
Did you think the Red Sox pitching was good in 07? When they won the World Series?
I can't remember that far back.
But yet you can remember, you know, the days of yore when everybody had great pitchers.
Yeah, because I was really into baseball at that time.
But you can't remember, you know, 4 years ago.
No, because I just didn't pay as much attention as now that I did then.
I think Andy and I have succeeded in our little game here.
As with Cam Newton, the end of the year, we'll see if I'm right or not.
Maybe.
What's the Cam Newton thing?
Well, it takes time to see whether or not Nolan Naraki is right. We'll see if I'm right.
But I think you both could be right and wrong.
Well, if their ERA sucks and...
I'm still not sold on their lineup, if we're going to talk a little Red Sox. I still go with a lot of runs.
I'm sold on the Red Sox lineup.
They'll score a lot of runs. That's great in the regular season. I still think there's a lot to compare between the Patriots and Red Sox of late. When they lost the Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz prime of their career, those two guys could win you playoff games. You didn't need 1-9. Those two guys could win you playoff games. You know, throw in a Damon, somebody to set the table. But there's a lot of... Again, Paul, you make fun of me for this. I call it was my Andy Hart. I had a high batting average in high school. I wasn't a very good baseball player. You know what I could do? I would go 4-for-4 against, as Paul calls them, poop bum pitchers. 4-for-4. And that makes you have a high average. You brought anybody with any talent? Well, I wasn't very good. I think the Red Sox score a lot of runs in games where it's irrelevant. And then when they meet, you know, say they go into the World Series and play Cliff Lee and what's his name?
Roy Halladay.
Halladay and the other. I mean, I think there's a chance you go, wow, I thought their offense was good. Now, obviously, that's a great example.
Those
but
guys
I think
shut
good
everybody
pitching
down.
Staffs can shut them down.
You all right?
I don't think you need to
need a bib over there.
I'm still not sold on this lineup being the greatest ever.
No, see, I am sold. I would have said everything that Andy just said about the team last year. That lineup going into last year, pre-injuries. And they scored a ton of runs last year. They were very good offensively. Offense was not the problem last year, but I thought of them in terms that Andy just described. Whenever they played someone that was really good,
right?
I didn't go into that with much confidence that they were going to succeed. Now, they ended up beating some good pitchers during the course of the season, but I think when the rubber meets the road, I didn't think that – I thought that lineup – you could pitch to that lineup last year. This year, I would be very surprised if teams are able to successfully go through Pedroia, Yukalis, Gonzalez. Looks like Ortiz is a little bit rejuvenated. Obviously, there might be a reason for that. That he might have started doing, you know, say, last April again. I don't know. Just thinking out loud here.
You know, just openly accusing people of
juicing? Listen, it's not openly accusing a guy. It's a guy who's been caught. You know, there's a difference. It's not like Felger just throwing a guy out there and dismissing his career.
But you're openly accusing him of starting again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Actually, at a specific time last April.
Absolutely. Well, without question. And when you get caught, that's what you're subjected to.
David says, baseball sucks, and so do the Red Sox. And he spells Sox, S-O-C-K-S. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have a lot of emails, a lot of them drafts, so we're going to get to draft. Also, want to remind people, Danny Woodhead is made it to the third round. He's going up against Aaron Rodgers. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest plastic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Paul and Fred are really battling it out. But did he really just call his boss a liar?
You aren't just lying. You're slowing down the progress of all mankind. You douche.
I'm not a douche.
Patriots.com Radio.
The webmaster takes it a great moment in WWE in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
Really hot,
it was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it too.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
You know, speaking of Paul and Fred arguing, last week that YouTube video came out with the two babies in diapers having a conversation, the da da da. Everybody seems to have seen it. What I wanted these guys to do is to dub in our voices arguing. And I thought that would have been hysterical, but, you know.
It would have been.
Too much work. I actually...
I don't think I know what you're talking about. I mean, I know about our arguments, don't get me wrong.
If I had done it, you know, the listeners wouldn't have been able to see it.
Post it on
PFWProgress.com
somewhere. You know?
We need new opens. I thought maybe we could do an American Idol one.
I'm working on a bit. Well, I was before the show. I'll probably finish it after the show.
What?
Okay. You're working on a bit. Good.
Is a bit an open?
No, a bit's
like different
one of those.
Than an open. I did two new opens in like a week.
What, the zebra's vagina?
Yeah, and I redid the Anchorman one.
Because we lost the old Anchorman one.
I think we need a new. You don't think American Idol would work?
Could work. I ran the cookies idea.
I want to be Simon.
You want to be Simon?
You know he's not on the show.
He's not
anymore,
on the
right?
show.
No, I figured we'd go all time. You could use any Paula. You know, Eric could be Paula.
I'm not really familiar with that show. I'd have to do some research.
Oh, shut up!
No, I've never watched an episode of American Idol.
Shut your mic off.
I really haven't.
Jason,
does that make me a bad person?
There's no one in America that's not familiar with American Idol.
No,
you know
I know
what
the, it is. I know.
You've
I know.
Seen clips of it.
Yeah.
You know who's on
I've
it.
I've never seen an episode of Lost.
Me either,
but I know
but
what
you
it
know
is.
What it is.
I know what the premise is, yeah.
And on American Idol, you don't have to learn a whole slew of characters. There's judges and a host. I mean, it's not... This guy, I've never seen it. I'm not familiar with it.
Jason Illinois says, I want Danny to win.
Straight.
He's talking about the Madden contest to find the cover. Danny Woodhead has advanced two rounds, and now he's facing Aaron Rodgers in the third round. Jay says, I want him to win maybe even more than Andy. So what I did was write a script to vote for him over and over while I'm away from my computer. But then I got looking at the numbers. In the first round, Rodgers got up 392,000 votes to Danny's 270,000. The second round was the same story. Rodgers with 245,000 votes to Danny's 175,000. Now Danny needs some help. So I made video guides and a quick website explaining how to make your very own auto-voting script. I've given all the installation files and instructions with explanation along the whole way. I hope the PFW crew can share the site, and hopefully we get enough people to cover the gap.
Is this legal?
I don't know. Who cares? The website is sites.google.com/site/AHKvote. I'll give that again. sites.google.com/site/AHKvote. Check it out. Maybe tweet it, but all can help. I just got to imagine that other people in other markets are doing the same thing. So
I don't.
I wish people wouldn't do that. I wish it was.
Oh,
just,
I got no problem.
I wish it was just straight up.
I just
who gets
win.
The most votes?
No, I don't care. I just want to win.
Well, I do
about
too.
Winning.
I do too.
Winning.
I'm with Bobby the Brain Heenan. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
But there might be a thing that ESPN has built into this that under, you know, knows.
You also may have just given out a site for, like, child porn.
Maybe.
You might have wanted to check it first.
Who cares? Don't
check it. Just run with it.
You know, maybe ESPN has a thing that detects these vote bots and stops it, but we'll see. I do want to.
This is another case of the guy clearly has some intelligence and some ability. He chooses to use it on this.
That's all right.
This is why America is falling behind in the world.
So,
Fred just couldn't wait. He had to drag the box of cookies over to him.
So do you think that, Woodhead has
chocolate on you? Yes.
Do you think Woodhead has a chance?
I do.
Yes, but he might need a little help. That guy clearly did his research, and 100,000 more votes were going to Aaron Rodgers in each of the first two rounds. You know, he is, by the way, the Super Bowl MVP and not just some little kid who played for a team for half a year. What?
Oh, I don't know what.
Woodhead making the rounds at ESPN, by the way. You see that? What do you call it? The car wash?
Going through the car wash.
The car wash, yeah.
At ESPN today. He was apparently, people were tweeting that he was talking about his Madden rating, that it was only like a 43 overall last year, and he's hoping to get a little higher this year and that kind of stuff. Imagine that, 43. That's pretty low.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, that's probably why he was cut.
Okay. Curtis Wood writes in, I was wondering if any of you guys would like to see Mike Pouncey from the Florida Gators in our offensive line this year. Nah. My dad said that Pouncey could play any position in the line. Keep up the good work in keeping us Patriots fans updated.
Yeah, I'm not sure about any position in the line. He's very versatile, guard and center. Actually went to Florida and played defensive line as a freshman. And he started every game he's ever played in, I believe, and four or five of those include defensive line starts. I'm not sure he could play tackle. And, no, I don't care for him. He's going to get overdrafted. Sounds like he's going to go in the middle of the first round. I don't think he's that good.
Now, why did he not come out?
I don't think – he's not as good as his brother. Yeah. He wasn't as thought of as highly. He wasn't as good. So his brother came out. I mean, his brother was an underclass center, which is, like, rare, once every 5 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. There's rarely centers drafted, rarely underclass centers. I mean, rarely centers drafted high, and rarely are there underclass centers. He's an underclass center who went – what was it, 18, to the Steelers, and he came in, was a Pro Bowl rookie. He's just a better prospect.
Gary writes in, have you ever heard of a defensive tackle from BC named Damek Scaife? He was supposed to attend the Combine but opted not to go. I heard he tore it up at the BC Pro Day. I've been told he's visiting the Chargers and Colts. NFL draft scout had him ranked 29th as a defensive tackle. Is that only because he has no Combine numbers? What's your take on him?
Paul, you handle this one.
It wouldn't be only because he had no combine numbers. I'm not overly familiar with the player. I see the chimp in the other room nodding his head vehemently about knowing who he is. We had staff on hand at BC's Pro Day in one Brian Lowe.
But we didn't have anybody with an eye for talent.
But didn't say a word about him.
He's not very good.
All he talked about was Costanzo.
Well.
Damek Scaife.
Doesn't dig very deep in the draft.
Well, I just thought that maybe Todd McShay wasn't there, so he actually had to look at somebody.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Bilo has a draft show, which, by the way, debuts tomorrow at noontime here on Patriots.com radio. And do we have any guests lined up for him?
Still working on it.
I'm
getting the Nolan Naraki treatment.
So it's going to be Bilo talking for an hour.
It was your tone, by the way. I sent Nolan Naraki an email, and he's doing something for our paper. No problem, Andy. Anytime.
Really?
He was a very nice man over email.
Oh, well.
I think you had tone when you
called. So that's all it takes for you, huh?
What? I like people to be nice? Yeah, I like that.
But once they are, that's it. They're in your good graces?
Well, let's be honest. I didn't really have a reason to dislike him.
I thought you did.
Other than the fact where I called him
on a baby or something.
He called Robert Quinn a second round pick. I mean, that's not really reason to
and if I ever if I ever had him on the show, I'd say, what was the ridiculous reason you had for putting Robert Quinn in the second round in your mock?
Well, why don't you just leave the ridiculous out, because maybe he had a good reason.
No, he didn't.
Don't editorialize your question.
No, I'll stand by. Either he knew something or he knew nothing, and the fact that he moved him into the top
10 now. But you don't know what it is, so don't call it ridiculous.
Listen,
until
let me finish
you found
the sentence.
It out.
He moved the guy into the top 10 of his mock now, so he clearly didn't have a solid cement reason why he should be a second round pick.
Okay.
Right?
I'm just trying to save you from yourself here.
When you're
asking questions of someone in an interview, don't editorialize.
I will
your
tell
question.
Him, honestly, I made fun of him, and you've shown me no reason not to make fun of you because you took a second round pick and put him in the top 10.
Do that later after he's proven he didn't have a reason, but let him.
He already proved it by moving him into the top 10.
All right.
He proved it.
Right?
If he had a reason, he would have kept him in the second round.
Well, you don't know the circumstances, so don't jump to conclusions.
What circumstances?
Of why he put it in him in the second round.
I'm fine if he thought he was a second round pick.
It was a miscalculation. That was the reason.
There might have been reasons that you don't know about that changed. Conditions on the ground might have changed.
Nothing changed.
Yeah, everybody else had him in the top 10.
Yeah.
And he
well,
said,
if that's
no,
all, if that's the whole way he's doing his mock is what, based on what everyone else is doing, then he's a fraud.
Like, where do you think he,
that may be true.
What do you think? You're trying to say, like, he thought that the brain tumor would affect him more, and
maybe
now he's come to realize in fact that it's not a big issue?
I don't know. Maybe people he was talking to was giving him bad information. Maybe he was talking to different people, then when he started getting more info, he changed his mind.
I think you give these draft guys way too much credit.
I might be, but, you know, we'd like to think that they are talking to somebody and not just, ooh.
And he is the lone guy who's recommended by Bill Belichick as pure football.
That's true. That's true.
We validated that comment.
Can't argue with that.
It is indeed an accurate quote.
We had it validated. Andy got it validated.
All the more reason to let him explain why he put him in the second round and not jump to conclusions.
Maybe he does it all through the ghost of Joel Buschbaum. He goes to bed at night and has dreams, and that's how he does his mock.
He channels him?
Yeah.
Maybe. John and Raleigh writes in, if the season were to be expanded and we were to assume team roster sizes would be increased, should we also assume additional draft picks would be given to each team, resulting in an eighth and possibly ninth round in the following drafts to fill the gap between the current number of players in the NFL and what the numbers would be in the future?
I would not. I would think I think the opposite, but I don't necessarily. I think it would stay the way it is.
There was a time in the NFL when there were like 14, 15 rounds.
Right, and as rosters expanded, the rounds decreased. So, right. In fact, the opposite has taken place.
Why is that?
Yeah, why is
that? I just think they feel like there's no need for that many rounds of the draft. There's no shortage of players.
No.
So I think that they, for whatever reason, they decided to limit it to 7 rounds. I think it might be for the players as much as anything else. I think it benefits a player to be an undrafted free agent when you're on the fringe of a 7th-round pick. You can pick the team that you want to go to.
I used to think that. I don't think that as much anymore.
You don't think it benefits a player?
I think that's
a reason.
To some degree benefit the player, but I used to put more stock in that. I used to think these agents and players really analyzed it, where to sign and who, like, broke down depth charts. And the more guys you talk to, I don't know who they called. Like, it just feel like more and more lately, it's convenience or something.
Some guys get more of a signing bonus, too. You know,
no,
the priority undrafted free agents.
No, I know, but I think I used to make way too much of it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole... I agree with you there. I don't think there's a lot to be made of it. But, you know, there was a time when the NFL roster limits were like 40 and 45. And the draft was like 18, 20 rounds. And as the rounds decreased, the roster sizes increased. So I don't
think... But back then, you were allowed to bring in over 100 guys into camp.
And yet they still decreased the size of the amount of rounds.
No, but now there's a cap on how many people you can bring into camp.
And you had less teams. So less teams times more rounds is the same players, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of it, too.
Right. Yeah.
You were still the lump of players, the 260 or whatever.
Right, the
pie
was
the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you're just divvying it up with more teams, so it's less rounds.
Right. So there's a good explanation right there. Brian from Rothesay, New Brunswick writes, and I asked you guys.
Would have a really good one if it actually coincided, but that's okay.
Coincides.
Yeah, Fred, thank you. His idea, he poo-poos.
I know.
It's not my idea. I'm just stating the facts.
Okay.
Where's our competition, by the way?
They start Friday.
Wait, they debut a radio show on a Friday?
You're talking about ESPNBoston.com.
Yeah.
Yes, they're debuting. They're debuting
on Friday. Yes, you didn't get that wrong. That's what they're doing.
Why?
I don't make the decisions.
Are they afraid?
They're walking around with signs on saying,
"Well, that's
kill
opening
us.
Day for Fenway Park." Is that true?
Yes.
So that's why they're doing it.
No, but why couldn't they
start
on
the
Monday?
Other six games of the
that's
season?
That's a good question. I don't have the answer to that.
That's poor to me.
Weird.
It's very flawed. Fred and I talked about it yesterday.
I don't have the answer to that.
You would think if you're starting up a new venture, you'd want, you know, your idea is to do 5 days a week,
right.
So you want to get people in a habit.
Right.
So now you're going to come on with a show and then go away for 2 days and come back with a show. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Should have started it on a Friday before a 3-day weekend and not done a Monday show.
There you go.
See you Tuesday.
Take April vacation off.
Right, like what? Brian and Rothesay, New Brunswick. I asked you guys a few weeks ago about Danny Watkins. Now he's been invited to the draft in New York. Why? Is it the good story that's behind him or what? As a Canadian, I'm glad to see him going, but I'm confused. I don't think anyone has him in the top 20.
Watkins is invited?
Also, I'd like to be the first person to sign up for the Ken Walter birthday experience. I admit I have his jersey.
It's a good question. I do remember when he asked about Watkins.
I didn't know Watkins got invited.
What goes into that? Do you know what goes into the?
I thought it was people they thought were going to go in the top half of the first round. I thought it was that simple. But I'll be stunned if Danny Watkins is one of the first 15 or 16 players taken in the draft.
And forgive me if this is stupid. Does anyone know of anyone who has turned down the invitation?
Yeah. Jake Locker. And somebody else, I believe, have flat out turned it down.
Okay. Now, was it because they didn't want to go or because they're honoring the NFL PA asterisk's wishes?
I do not know. I don't have the answer to that specific question.
Hey,
but
PA,
Watkins, that's a weird...
Yeah, he's a bottom of the first round at best guy, right?
Right. And I thought they tried to avoid having guys just sit there and not get drafted.
Andy likes him, by the way.
I do, but...
I like him, too.
Not with the 12th pick in the draft as a guard slash tackle.
George,
No. Not in the top half of the first round by any stretch.
George in Goffstown, New Hampshire. Hey, PFW, looks like the Pats may have to tweak the trade-up plan. I don't see Quinn available after 7 and more likely 5. With Quinn's outstanding pro day and Bauer's less-than-stellar performance at his pro day, I have to believe that forces the Pats to look hard at Aldon Smith. I believe a trade up to 12 with Minnesota would get it done. Smith holds the sack record at Mizzou, has the size, speed, numbers. He does remind me of McGinnis in stature. Would fit better than Kerrigan and Reed. Belichick would only have to move up 5 spots. Run this by Andy for approval. We've been hoping to get Quinn, but can't see that happening now. George says, tweet, no fat kids allowed.
That's the Quinn fat kid. That must be a reference.
Okay.
Stupid little fat kid.
And he makes fun of Rabel for stealing the beer.
I have to learn this story, that Vrabel story. I have to figure out what he did.
Oh, you know, story. You know.
Being on the receiving end of so many of his nonsensical little jokes and barbs over the over the years, I need to find out what exactly he did. And therefore, I need to find out when exactly the time elapsed is gone that I can start making fun of him about it.
Without him hitting you.
Right. Well, luckily he's in Kansas City, so he's probably not going to be able to take a swing at me.
What do you think about that, Andy? Do you agree that Quinn is out of the question at this point?
No.
No?
Not necessarily. I think there are some ways where he could... We've targeted that 9-10 area as maybe where they could trade up to.
Right.
I think there might be some scenarios where he gets in that area somewhere. I do think he's probably going to go slightly higher than that. But we've said if they want to get to 6, just do it. 17 and 28, go to 6. Boom, you got it. So they have the capability without giving up a whole lot. I am doing a mock draft for NFL.com that I took Ryan Kerrigan. A little sneak peek. I don't know if they're allowed to do that. I haven't taped it yet. But I'll be taking Ryan Kerrigan with the 17th selection for the New England Patriots. I haven't seen a lot of Aldon Smith. He's intriguing. Michael Lombardi is on that trail. Obviously, he has the ties to Belichick. He compared him to Willie McGinnis. He's a young, kind of raw player, kind of like Quinn in that he had a great year 2 years ago, broke his fibula, some leg down there, bottom of his leg or whatever, early this year, cut down on his production, his playing time. Probably a guy who's theoretically best football is ahead of him. I just haven't seen enough of him play. I need to try to see some more tape on him. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Guy.
If we lose out on Quinn, that's when I start thinking about these other guys. Aldon Smith. Kerrigan intrigues me because super productive, 30-something sacks, tons of forced fumbles. The program, they just develop those defensive end and outside linebackers. They've done it for a decade now. And
Rosie Colvin, guys
everybody.
Like that.
I mean, straight on through the kid in Dallas, the kid, there's
Anthony
one in Minnesota.
Spencer.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Was Sean Phillips there, too?
I believe Sean Phillips. I mean, they just endless in that line. But the biggest thing that keeps resonating with me is that Von Miller stuff when he said he was working out with Kerrigan, and when you work out with Kerrigan, you can't help but get better. You can't help but be pushed. And that just to me reeks of something that Bill would fall in love with, that he's just one of those contagious guys. He may not be perfect, but he can rush the passer, and he seems like a Patriot.
Dan the Byman writes, and just want to say I missed Ryan Kerrigan's video on Patriots.com. I couldn't find it. So I did a YouTube search. The guy looks to have a high motor and strength. Plus, he has the big frame, perfect for Belichick's 3-4 system outside linebacker. So if the Patriots draft any of these three, I'll be happy. The three are Quinn, Smith, and Kerrigan. Alden Smith reminds me of McGinnis, and Kerrigan reminds me of Vrabel, who just got arrested. We kind of need both, except for the arrest. But we know Belichick will not draft anyone with a big name, and not to mention two first around in the same position. Name one person that got drafted in the Belichick era that was highly rated in college. Don't get your hopes up on Quinn. Okay, to receivers now.
Is that like a literal question, or are we kind of being a little bit hyperbolic? Like Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork, Ben Watson, Lawrence Maroney.
Brandon Merriweather.
Are we being literal or figurative?
Well, I think
more often than not, first-round pick is a very highly thought-of player.
But also more often than
Devin McCourty was down the bottom of the first round.
The guys that he's talking about are usually taken in the first 10 picks, and we usually don't have those picks.
Right.
So
well, that's why I think that he maybe was kind of being sarcastic.
People talk more about the people that are going to go in the top 10.
Right.
Therefore, those become higher-profile picks between February and April.
Right.
The Patriots don't pick in the top 10, so not as often does Bill Belichick take a guy who was that high-profile for that short period of time.
Right.
But Brandon Merriweather was talked about like Ed Reed. And Vince Wilfork slipped into the Patriots'
lap
at 19.
He was actually one of those guys that was
17.
Talked about as one of the top 10 picks.
He was a top 10 to 15 pick.
Yeah.
Who you got? So
the one guy I would say is Logan Mankins. Not a lot of people knew anything or talked at all about Logan Mankins. He was rated to be sort of a cusp guy. Top of the second round. Everybody said the Niners were going to take him with the first pick of the second round. But I had not heard a whole lot about Logan Mankins heading into that 05 draft, and they took him. So,
and that'll happen
this
year.
One guy.
Some of these guys, you know, they'll probably be, these guys are talking about Wilkerson, the kid, or the other defensive lineman. These guys that aren't high profile, but everybody says they're going to be picked 28 to 35.
Daniel Graham was the Mackey Award winner.
Right.
You know, he was not an off the radar pick.
How'd that work out for you?
Just saying, they generally take guys that are, you know, they're well thought of. They don't reach for a guy in the first round.
Okay, the receivers now. I didn't mean take Terrence Toller in the first round. Late second round in mid-third is what I'm looking at. He could slip to fourth, too. I disagree with Andy that he was unproductive. He did not have any decent QB to throw him the ball. But you can see some of the sick catches he has.
So you don't disagree with me, then? You just have a reason for it. It's called rationalization.
He also has speed.
And I'm with you on the rationalization, by the way, because they didn't have a quarterback to throw him the ball.
He also has speed like Randy's, effortless. Hankerson has great hands and reach. Didn't we get that from Gronk? But we need someone to take the top off the defense. Torrey Smith will be a high pick, perhaps even the first round. So someone in the mid-third is reasonable. By the way, BI stands for business intelligence, as for my profession. You can take that as Belichick intellect. I would, except you misspelled like half the words in your email.
I'm taking it for bisexual.
I don't know.
You like men.
I don't know what business you're in, but yeah.
Business is booming.
Invest in spell check.
That is my one hang up on Hankerson, is that he is not an elite speed guy. And you do kind of have some of the things I think he brings to the table in your tight ends between the combination of Hernandez and Gronkowski. So he might not be the perfect fit, but I also see this receiving core in a little bit of a transition. I'm not sure Welker and Branch are here for the long term. I'm not sure Tate's here for the long term.
I think there's a really good chance that this is it for Welker and Branch.
Right.
Now, it's almost certainly it for Branch. Now, I think you have a chance that you re-sign Welker.
You don't think
he
could stick?
I get it.
So if you take those two guys out of the equation, and then Tate and or Price are not necessarily the answer, which you probably will know by the end of next year.
Know it about Tate. I don't know it about Price.
Okay, Andy. I'm with you. Relax.
Well, I know you're waiting for the year 5 jump with
no,
Tate.
No, I'm not. I don't. What did I say about Tate last year that disagrees with anything you said.
I know he's only 6 years removed from the ACL injury, and he's going to have that big gain at some point.
He's unbelievable. He can't help it. He just can't help it.
How long do we wait?
I'm not waiting. I'm saying at the end of – it's not about how long I'm willing to wait.
He's no longer a puppy. He's a mid-grown dog.
I don't have the power.
Bite.
I don't have that ability to say, you know what, the Brandon Tate era is over. But Bill will. And at the end of the season, the end of the 11 season, when Welker –
11?
No, I said 11. Welker and Branch, if they're not there, he's going to know a lot more about Price and Tate. If they haven't worked out, you need a dramatic overhaul of that position, kind of like you did in 07.
That's why I'm saying if you like Hankerson, just take him, because even if he's not ideal for the 0-11 offense, he might just be a good receiver down the road that you work around. He's part of your core. Randall Cobb, by the way, Fred, you need to do a little work on, a little research.
Oh, yeah. Really
Randall like Cobb is one of those guys that it's like Belichick on Christmas. You give Belichick a new toy and see what he decides to do with it.
You run the wild Cobb.
Very interesting guy.
But he's done it all. He scored 8 different ways last year, which I forget all of them. I'm not even sure. Right. If you gave me a trivia question.
That had nothing to do with football.
But former, you know, he can throw, can run, can catch. But I also just think he's just a pretty good receiver. Even if you just say he has to just be a receiver for us, I think he's a pretty good, very quick, fast kind of guy. You'd like him if he were a Patriot.
Okay.
He's probably going to go a little too high to be a Patriot. But
I'll check him out.
Are you going to do any draft research this year?
I'm kind of busy.
Well, last year, at least you pretended. Every once in a while, you'd say, I'm going to watch some video
I'm
today.
I'm going to try. You know, it's early April.
You'd watch Jonathan Dwyer lust after his manly thighs, tell me he's a great back, and then I'll say, no, he's fat, slow, and can't get to the edge.
I'm busy fat, preparing drunk, things no for way the to go fans of the New England Patriots all over the world.
You got winded in a meeting today.
I did?
I don't know. I heard you leave the meeting and go to your office. Paul yelled something. You go, what? Like you were, like, winded.
Keith in Georgia says, hello, draft experts and Eric. rather than having a fan draft, you should have a fan draft, as in you guys and Eric. Draft the callers and emails you like best. Just promise to have the camera rolling when Eric asks Coach Belichick what would be a good trade value to move up and take Ken Walter. I personally am okay being picked in the 6th round, say pick number 199 or something. It will be one of the best decisions you ever made, Mr. Hart.
Who's this?
Keith in Georgia. Thanks for all the effort you put into keeping us informed. Work has slammed me hard this year, so I'm fully relying on PFW for all my draft and off-season info.
As you should.
If you want your hot PFW info.
Andy and I would end up like Belichick. We'd end up passing on our picks once we got to like the 3rd round. What? I'm just kidding.
It's typical of me. I'm all talk. You proved it last week when somebody said, who would you take number 1 overall? And I was like, well, for who?
I don't know.
What position? What are my needs? I don't know. What's that? Paralysis by analysis?
Fred in Halifax checking in. It's week 4 of his NFL blackout. The days and weeks are tending to all run together. The walls are starting to close in, and the voices in my head are getting louder. And for whatever reason, they don't like Andy.
Hey, screw you.
To start with, my weekly Celebrity Apprentice update. Well, you guys missed a humdinger of a show this past week. Bill Belichick had about all he could take of Bill Polian and just went off on him. He accused Polian of stealing his paints, and things got ugly. Luckily, the little cowboy from Toy Story was there to bust it up and mediate the problem. Later in the show, the two Bills shared a comforting embrace, and all was forgotten how art imitates life.
Woody was there?
Yeah. My question for you guys this week is this. Who in your mind is the poor sap who is going to slide down the board and maybe into day 2 while the viewing audience watches him in the green room become less and less wealthy, hoping he didn't already spend the money all his yes men told him he was going to get?
Slide.
Who's the big slide? And, you know, it's tough because
that is one of our questions that we do every year, too. That's a good question. Haven't given it any thought at all yet.
I have not either. I'm trying to think of all. The Claiborne has ridden a little bit of a roller coaster.
How far down do you think Bowers ends up based on his workouts recently?
Not far.
Not far enough to qualify for this exercise?
Teens.
That's a pretty big drop.
Yeah, but it's not down and out.
See, I think that's a much more significant financial loss than
It is.
A guy who goes from like 28 to 38.
We don't really know at this point, but you know? Yeah, probably is.
Let's see. Ed in Framingham writes in to the draft insiders of PFW and Paul, Eric, and Fred.
Ah, wow. I like it.
Andy, just running away with this.
Oh, before you finish this, yeah. And while we're praising me, in all seriousness, I do think we led the buildup of Robert Quinn into everybody almost universally in Patriots Nation fans thinks he's like the perfect and I think we were a part of that.
Well, I think we're a guilty pleasure. I think a lot of people listen but don't admit it.
But we just pounded
home. And that accuses, that includes people in the media.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd think if they read us, they'd know a little more.
Because we've come up with some circumstantial evidence to show that we're being ripped off.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's true. But I'm just talking, even just with fans. Like, we now get asked PFWs with, like, subject line, assuming we can't get Quinn. Like,
right.
It's now assumed that if you could take anyone, it's Quinn.
But
it shouldn't be. Von Miller is just as good a prospect. He played in the 3-4 in college. You could argue he's the more ideal.
I know, but in defense of that, if they are addressing you or this paper, they know that your preference is Quinn, so I can understand that.
No, I know, but I got to be honest, I think we've made Quinn up to more than he is. I'm just saying, I think we've built him up to a legend that if he indeed ends up here, he can't possibly live up to.
He's already.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
We have made him out to be
you
LT
have
on
made
steroids.
Him up to be. Well,
okay, me. I'll say me.
Oh, that's nice. Now you're saying he's okay. I can't say anything about David
Ortiz,
who actually was guilty of
that. That's a common, what do they call it, colloquialism or something? How do you say that word? He's on steroids.
Mike Vrabel, you can't speak because you're slurring your speech.
I just, like, he needs to come in, and if he doesn't have 12 sacks as a rookie, bust. Flat out.
That's what you think?
No, that's the image I feel.
Well, that's what you've built him up to.
Exactly.
Right.
You. The guy didn't play football last year.
You.
As Chris Ferrer likes to point out, he's got a brain tumor still in his head.
Andy came in.
This is a real big backtrack because.
No, I'm not backtracking. I take him in a heartbeat.
It's
he's
more,
the perfect
It's
pet.
More covering all his bases.
No,
exactly.
It isn't. It's, I think we've set him up for failure.
He makes fun of Mike Mayock for having five guys tied for his top five, number
now,
five.
Fred, I just want you to pick apart the semantics here of the words. The guy who has spent the last 3 months with hit one arm over the back of his shoulder patting himself on the back is now saying, we have set him up for failure.
Right.
Well, you guys have bought in. I sold you a load of bull, and you guys bought on. You signed
I'm going to say this about Robert Quinn from Andy's perspective. Don't you have subscriptions to sell? Oh, good.
Are you really going to make your debut? Because fans have heard a lot about you over the years, but I don't know that they've ever gotten the chance to talk to you.
Mostly not in a positive light. Just so you know.
You say...
Carol Hardy, subscription manager, has come down for cookies, apparently.
Just to eat a cookie.
Turn her mic on, Andy.
But Andy.
Say hi.
Last year. Say hi, Carol. Now she officially makes her debut eating.
Just so you know, you won't get that kind voice when you call and ask why your paper didn't arrive. It's, what'd you say to me? Don't worry about it. Be happy you get it at all.
Just take that up at the post office.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Basically what she tells people. Just what you gotta do. I don't know why. That's the way the system works. You need a new password every time you resubscribe. I know it's stupid.
We're waiting.
Talk into the mic.
All right.
I'll stick it in
but
your
Andy,
mouth.
Andy, when was it that you had said, Jesus.
Unbelievable.
God. When did you say the thing about, where did you see Quinn initially? Because I remember before last college football season, this is before he was even suspended.
Yes. I was tooting his horn.
Yeah. How did you see him?
I don't know.
What did you see him on? I'm just trying to point out, this isn't like a
flavor
of the month for you.
I think I just went looking for 6'4", 260 pounds, highly thought of outside linebackers who run a 4.6 and fit the mold.
But you had seen him do something.
Oh, yeah.
I think
I saw one clip. It's typical of Andy.
And I don't want it to come off as this is like a flavor
of the
month.
This is like pulling the curtain away from the Wizard of Oz.
From now on, I'm going to call him Trot Nixon.
He's exposing himself.
No, but I'm always right. Doesn't matter how I get to the right answer, as long as the answer is right.
Who wouldn't always be right if you use your parameters and you just cover all your bases?
Just when you'd never even
of
Andy Studebaker, I said that kid can play
Brian
in the league,
Maury.
And now he starts for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I said it.
A playoff football team, Andy Studebaker.
Brian Maury.
Just when you said,
Andy Hart.
Who's James Starks? Never heard of him. I said, kid can run the football in the National Football League. And who was a playoff phenomenon? James Starks.
He actually did it for a half. So
he carried a team to the Super Bowl and allowed them to win it.
Let me finish, Ed.
What did everybody say? Everybody said if the Packers can get a running game, they can go to the Super Bowl. They are a championship contender. They got a little bit of a running game in the form of James Starks. Thank you. No further questions.
A little bit.
Ed, I told you. Oh, and by the other running back who I said was great and made the Steelers one of the best teams in football happened to be going up against James Starks.
Like they say, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
I got a lot of nuts then.
I saw 30 seconds.
You can't talk in the background. Yeah. This is not Kiss 108 where the producer talks in the background. Talk into the mic or get the hell out.
Did you hear him at all today, by the way?
No, I can never hear him. All I hear is them laughing at what he says.
Maddie. Maddie left at 8 o'clock.
Yes, when he said, if I were you and you have any manliness in you, click over to the sports radio station now because I'm leaving.
The view's coming on.
Like, how do you really deal with that if you're the boss and he's literally telling people, the show's not good without me, click over to EEI. Actually, do they have a sister station?
And he was driving. And
they're all related.
They're all related, really?
Well, I know 94.5 is.
They're all of those stations.
Jammin' is in, like, the same hallway.
I thought you meant the sports station. I thought you meant one of the sports
stations. Yeah,
I'm not sure. EEI used to be down the hall from Mix. I know that for a fact.
But it's not now. But that's not one of
those. I don't know from these stations.
And just because they're in the same building doesn't mean they're from the same company.
No, they were.
And I'm pretty sure they're not in the same building anymore.
Anyway, I saw 30 seconds of Robert Quinn's pro day, and I am now all in on Quinn. He looked explosive and nimble in the footage. From my untrained eye, I assume he has the athleticism to convert to outside linebacker.
He does.
Clearly will be difficult to block on passing downs. Andy, he had his shirt off running the drills,
yes.
So you probably want to be alone when you view the footage.
I saw it. Don't worry.
But I am all in for doing whatever it takes to get him. I can't wait for draft day to see Andy's reaction when he's picked by us or someone else. What do you think will make for better radio? The Patriots trade up to Dallas to pick at 9 and take Quinn. Quinn immediately files a restraining order on Andy. Patriots trade up to 9. Quinn and Green are still on the board, and they take J.J. Watt.
No, I'll go absolutely ballistic.
Patriots are at 17. Quinn is still on the board, and they trade back to 21. At 21, Quinn is still on the board, and they trade back to 27 and eventually take a cornerback with the pick.
That will be must-listen radio.
See, I think the best one would be trading up and then taking J.J. Watt. In terms of best-listen radio, I think Andy's head might explode.
You'll hear the phrase, they traded up to take Mike Wright.
I usually listen to your draft day coverage afterwards and find great humor in knowing what is coming and knowing Andy is going to throw a fit when they pass on his guy several times. Thanks for the coverage during the lockout. I intend to re-up my PFW subscription soon.
Carol, see?
There you go, Carol.
We drive work and business to you.
Yeah. Again, if you're going to talk,
is your red light not on? You couldn't answer phone messages?
She's
just making
508-743-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Larry in Miami's on the phone. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
What's up?
It's been a while.
What, do you want a boat?
It's windy down there?
It's kind of, I'm at my job.
What's your job? Painting the tops of bridges?
He's a sailor.
Where do you work?
I work for a hospice program.
Oh, boy, that's a real downer.
What do you say, a hostage program?
Hospice. You know where people go to die? It's not really what we like to talk about on this show. Debbie Downer joins us from Miami.
Why, this is where careers go to die.
Oh, wow.
Just ask me.
According to Eric.
It's not the first place his has died.
I was just calling to just let y'all know, you know what? I think we're going to have to cash our chips in and we got to get Robert Quinn because all those playoff games that we lost, we're just one impact player or two away from making it to the Super Bowl. So we have to cash it in and stop trying to get extra picks and just cash all the chips in and see where it lay.
I agree 100%. Even if it's not Quinn, I agree. I think it is, but... I think a pass rusher is the impact player because I think that's a position that changes everyone. It changes the secondary, changes all the other linebackers, changes everything, blocking schemes, everything.
I'm with Andy. It doesn't have to be Quinn. It's whoever Bill decides is the best, but he needs to be right.
Right.
I don't care who it is.
Right. He needs to be right.
Right. I mean, I think it needs to be a pass rusher, and whichever one he identifies needs to be an impact pass rusher.
Right. It can be Kerrigan. It can be Brooks Reed. I really don't care. Just get that
Team
impact.
Ayers, Alden
pass.
Smith.
Well, it's not Ayers.
So really, this is a need-based draft for you in the first round.
Well, I think...
Well, within reason, depending on what happens,
but
too.
There's enough guys that I think marry up with the need.
Okay.
So that you... Right. It's not a reach where
I
you
understand.
Say, you know, there's only one safety. We need a safety, so we're taking the next one off the board, even though he's 48 slots lower.
I don't want to do that.
There's a handful of pass rushers that are considered first-round prospects, even high first-round prospects. Go get one.
If for whatever reason there's a run on that position and 5, 6, 8 of them are gone, I don't want to take whatever.
No, but that's not an excuse, because he needs to read the run and get up there and go get one, because he has the ammunition.
But you don't
know. That's the second part of this.
But you don't know if just because you have the ammunition doesn't mean you have a willing partner.
Oh yeah, you do. They have enough picks. They don't have to go crazy. They could find a person to trade up with to make sure.
But what if someone just says, "I don't want to trade down. I don't want the extra picks. I want the pass rusher."
But all of them would have to say no. Somebody would trade up.
That could happen.
No. It's not possible.
Not
possible. Stop laying excuses out for why they didn't trade up.
Not possible.
I know you're a company man and your head is...
No, that's not possible.
No, it's not. So stop laying the foundation and rationalization why we couldn't possibly trade up. No one would trade with us. Everybody hates us.
Listen to him. Now
it's ridiculous.
Now he's painting me out to be a
Brian Morey. That's what I'm painting you out to be, Brian Morey.
Well, we already established that you're Brian Morey and you cover all your bases. But you're painting me out to be an apologist?
Yes.
Right now, Brian Morey's on his way down here.
God, I hope not.
Why? Because he wants a cookie?
It'll be the Brian and Carol show, because I'm out.
What else you got, Larry?
Well, basically, I just wanted to say that. And basically, we got two picks anyway. We might as well take those two picks. We're going to have one anyway, you know, in the first round anyway. So we take those two and trade up.
You don't lose anything.
Yeah.
You leave the first round as you normally would with a single player. It's just a much better player than you normally would.
Preach it,
Larry.
All right. I'm on that wagon.
Okay.
Welcome aboard, brother.
All right.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Larry.
I was going to say have a good time at work, but that's not really the kind of work that you have a good time at.
But yet you still found a way to make a joke about something that you really wouldn't seem on the surface to be
and
able to do so.
And I still left.
And that's your audience.
Mike in Pensacola, Florida. He says, "Hey, Big Poppy, who's Fred? Dennis Rees, who's Paul? Paps, who's Andy,
nice.
And Dustin Pedroia's Eric."
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
That's not funny.
What?
Have you seen Denny Reyes?
No.
And shouldn't either him?
Big
fat.
He looks like he ate Rich Garcia.
He's like El Guapo. He's like El Guapo.
Oh, he looks like he ate El Guapo.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
He's a
fatty. I was once a good closer.
He's a fatty.
My question has to do with a discussion me and my friend, who is a Panthers fan, had on why the Patriots have been so successful the past decade.
He says
that it's because of the offensive line and the continuity it has had, and to him, it's the primary reason why the team has been so successful. I tend to side with the Patriots' offensive system, the passing strategy that the team employs, which is evident by Brady and even Castle's execution of it, that is most responsible for the team's success. I personally feel the offensive line has been merely adequate over the years as a unit, and although the line doesn't give up a lot of sacks, I see Brady constantly pressured, and his great pocket ability has helped him elude a lot of hits over the years. Which side would you guys take? Also, what do you guys think of Pitt running back Deion Lewis? Thanks. Keep up the good work. I definitely side with you, Mike. It's more Brady than anything else. I mean, come on. Let's face it.
But he even put it more on the scheme and the system.
Yeah.
But you don't have that without
Brady.
That's what I think it is.
You know?
Because I think I saw the same offense eventually when Castle was running it. I think it is the system.
Eventually.
Yeah. No, that's what I said, eventually. I mean, there was an adjustment period where he was getting sacked all the time. And then all of a sudden he was like, okay. Now I got the timing down. It took him 4 or 5 games. And then I'm not saying it was as good. He's not as good as Brady.
So will he take a step back this year?
Wasn't it a reasonable facsimile by the end of the year?
Yeah, sure.
Reasonable.
But will he take a step back this year with Charlie gone?
I think there's a possibility of that.
Chances are he's going to, even if Charlie stayed.
Yeah, I don't think,
but in all fairness, in that year,
he threw like no picks last year in the regular season.
Yeah, he was very good last year.
In all fairness, in that year with Castle, didn't their schedule kind of
unbelievably
soft?
Oh, yeah.
No, the whole year. It was an unbelievably soft schedule.
Soft like Paul's belly.
Unbelievably soft.
Yeah. Carol left.
Yes.
Yemi from Texas, is it fair to compare J.J. Watts to Adam Carriker? They both played defensive end in college when they should have played tackle. Watts will basically be converting to tackle in the NFL. What could help him compare to Carriker, and is that Watts won't be a top 10 pick, so expectations will be low?
I'm not so sure. At the rate he's moving up, he could be a top 10 pick by the time this is done. Some people believe to the Patriots at 9. I hated Adam Carriker. I was right. I knew I'd make Paul laugh with that one. He's a 5 technique. And for the Patriots, is a tackle to some degree. I don't hate Watt. I'm just dubious of his value. And he is certainly on the rise.
I noticed we didn't answer the other emailer's question about the Pitt running back.
Deion.
Oh, I thought you were going to actually because you jumped to answer me. I thought you were going to add an opinion.
I was waiting because I figured I'd give Andy a shot to answer the offensive system question, but you jumped right in. Third down back, strictly late round pick.
Bitsy, teeny weeny.
Yeah, he's real small. I don't think he has really much ability to run between the tackles at all.
Too small.
He might be a third down.
I believe he's 5'6 and change.
I think he's listed at 5'7, so he's probably not that.
Alex in Washington, D.C., I was wondering what your thoughts were on Kansas State running back Daniel Thomas.
He seems
to put up monster numbers in a good conference, even with a pretty poor offense around him, maybe late second or early third. Also, a lot of people are talking about adding a 3-4 prospect like Watt, Cameron, Jordan, etc., but I think that's foolish. Who was our best healthy defensive end last year? Give up? It was when Vince Wilfork lined up at defensive end. So if we must go for D lineman, which I don't think is a priority, why not go for Phil Taylor out of Baylor? Ty Warren, Vince, and Phil Taylor would be a nice D line. Anyway, just wanted to know your thoughts. Keep up the good work.
Interesting theory.
But you wouldn't be in favor of that.
Not necessarily.
You don't want to take that 3-4 end.
No, he wants to take the nose tackle and move Vince to end permanently.
Same. You don't want to expand the pick on that.
And I also, I think nose tackle, despite the fact it seems like, and I've joked about this, there's a boatload of great ones in the NFL, I think it's hard to find. I don't think it's an easy position to fill. So I wouldn't just assume that Taylor would come in and be a great all-pro nose tackle like you have with Vince Wilfork. I also don't assume that if Vince plays end all the time, he's as valuable as he is at nose.
You just touched on something that I want to... I don't know if this is blasphemous. I don't think Vince was very good as the end last year, by the way. I think he got exposed the more that Bill played him at end.
I think he was okay.
I agree. Okay is a good term. I don't think he was anywhere near as effective
the question
playing
is,
end
and
as
he
was
better than the
tackle.
Crap that would precede him.
Well, that's the
now,
thing.
Gerard
we don't
Warren
know how
fine.
Bad they would have been, particularly against the run, if they hadn't put him out there.
Oh, yeah, we do. They were pretty bad.
We do?
Yeah, we saw flashes of how bad they were.
Well, then that's your answer.
I thought he got turned. That's what I'm basing on. I thought he was not overly effective in that
role.
He
was okay. I didn't think he was great.
Yeah, but maybe that was their only option.
It was.
Yeah.
No, but this guy is saying...
I'm not killing Bill for making the move.
The emailer is saying draft a nose tackle and move Vince to end permanently.
Yeah.
I think there's a better chance if you draft an end that he will be a suitable, capable, productive defensive end. I think nose tackle's hard to find, and I don't think you'll find one as good as Vince Wilfork. And I don't think it's maximizing Vince's talents to make him an end. I think his talents are maximized at nose.
That's how I feel about it. I think that Bill had to do what he had to do. You know, Gerard Warren was really the only guy who stayed healthy with Vince all year. They only had two guys that were known quantities, and Warren dealt with his share of injuries during the course of the year. They really had to prop him up, I guess, later in the year to try to, gut it out and get through the season. But when you lose Wright and you're dealing with guys like Brandon Dederick and Myron Pryor was hurt all year and some of those other guys, they didn't really have any options.
Bye, Carol. Good chat.
They had to do what they had to do. I'm not suggesting it, but to take that, extrapolate from that, let's leave Vince. Yes, Vince was probably the most successful end they had all year, but you're really not comparing it to anything.
And also,
who's the kid? Landon Cohen?
Right.
Eric Moore. I mean, what was Moore's kid?
And maybe Vince would be more effective if he had better guys around him. I mean, he was the only guy.
He would be.
Yeah.
But I think he'd be most effective at nose.
At end, I mean.
I know, but I think he'd be most effective at nose.
I thought he got turned constantly.
I think he's a big, fat, good athlete. So, yes, he can play any defensive line position in the National Football League. But where is he best? Nose tackle. Right.
Giovanni in Chandler, Arizona says, screw the Sox, let's talk some football.
We are. Maybe more than we ever have on a single show.
That website isn't porn, the one that Fred gave out. That guy creating
Not
the program
porn.
Is like Kramer in that Seinfeld episode where he puts the cement in the guy's washing machine. Jerry goes, if only you could put your mind to something worthwhile, you're like Lex Luthor. There are some draft analysts who are, and he says that in quote, who are some complete tools. Besides Nolan Naraki, there's Pete Schrager, Chad Reuter, and Rob Rang.
Oh, I like the Ranger.
I mean,
Ranger's solid.
Jake
Reuter I don't care for.
Jake Locker at 10, Lions taking offensive tackles, Amu Kamara dropping, Pats taking Brooks Reed at 17. It's a mess. It's going to be a real awkward if some of these draft scenarios play out, especially if the Pats pass on Andy's boy. Speaking of awkward, where's Vin Diesel in his green Baby Gap shirt? As always, Jets are garbage, Andy's awesome, and Ken Walter rules. Eric had some stuff he had to do.
Yes.
See, I don't
Eric
judge...
is kind of like a mini Vin Diesel, huh?
Really mini, though. Vin Diesel has muscle.
Well, that's what I mean, mini.
Really mini.
Yeah, tiny. I hear crying in the background. What the hell's going on? Oh, it's
who was Eric?
Kevin on YouTube.
I did.
It was a Twitter link that dad was trying to get his son to like the Red Sox over the years.
You know, if you click on Twitter links, sometimes it takes you to porn.
Keep playing on ESPN.
I hope that Nesson wouldn't be tweeting porn.
I've gotten porn
from Nesson.
Somebody sent me a Twitter link. I clicked right on it.
It's probably strippers.
It was a hot girl bent over taking it.
Oh, jeez.
Oh my goodness.
What?
You were buying what she was selling?
Anyway, I don't necessarily judge the draft guys on the mock process. I judge them more on how they rate the prospects or what they have to say about individual players and what they end up being.
Right.
And their interaction with them.
I don't think they're in the business of predicting where they're going to get picked.
Here's the thing about the perfect analogy for these draft guides are the astrological things you read in the paper. They could really apply to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
When you read these, most of these write-ups, they cover all the bases. You know, and
too much.
They can never be wrong.
But right. My point is, who's the guy that he used as an example? Brooks Reed at 17. I don't care if the Patriots don't take Brooks Reed at 17, but does he turn out to be one of the 20 best players in the draft this year? If, 5 years from now, where you're looking back and saying Brooks Reed was one of the 20, 25 best players, then I say that draft analyst had it right. Not necessarily the team that picked him, but he had him in the area that he was relative to that draft class. You know, it's a hard thing to quantify. It's totally subjective.
So, like, if a guy tells you that a running back is going to be a productive running back.
And he ends up being a productive running back.
Like James Starks. That'd be a good draft analyst.
I give you all the credit in the world, Andy, as usual. I don't know what Fred and I can do other than to build a shrine to you.
We had a Daniel Thomas question a little bit earlier. Yeah. I'm going to give a little sneak peek. I haven't started doing all my positional, what do I call them, my favorite running backs or whatever, on the blog.
Oh, I thought you were trying to get a feel for the 90th pick.
I think that's a shot at another blogger. I'm not sure. But just a quick sneak peek.
I'm such a bad guy.
The running backs one will generate a lot of comments because I think there's a very good chance Daniel Thomas will be my number one running back when I do my...
I like Daniel Thomas
I think he's better than Ingram. I think he's better than LeSure. I think he has the best upside of any of the backs. LeSure will be second. I think Ingram's a jag. I think he's a jag.
I'm a little...
A good jag. Like, I mean, productive jag. Yeah. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Spends too much time going east-west, not enough north-south.
I'm a little concerned about Thomas's upright running style.
Where'd you get that analysis from, our lads?
No, I my own observation.
Who, you're talking about Ingram?
Ingram. Yeah. I think he gets away with a lot in college
he
that
does.
He won't get away
he
with
certainly
in the pros.
Will. He's not nearly the athlete he thinks he is.
That's exactly how I
He's
feel
not nearly
about
the
him.
Athlete that Trent Richardson is.
Yep.
Ron
of
Dane.
Scott writes in, speaking
bad.
Of coming out, where's
well, he's
Eric?
Not that big.
If I am correct, wasn't Andy the guy that wanted the Jets wash out Vernon Golston when Bill took Mayo?
Finally!
Funny you should ask that. Just upstairs.
Wait a minute, he's not done yet.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Didn't Andy want Larry English the next year?
Yeah.
And last year, the NFL version of Chevy Chase, Sergio Spindle.
Sergio Kindle is unfair.
And I've wanted a pass rusher every year. Yes, I've fallen in love with pass rushers every year, no question.
Think of
Kindle, I'm not wrong.
Think of that lineup.
Not yet.
Come on, stop falling in love with these guys based on projection of how they would fit in the uniform instead of a track record at the position they played in college. I would think it's time to send someone else to the combine with kid blue balls until Andy gets one right.
No, but I don't understand.
And I like the kid blue ball. That's nice.
No, but I don't like
I don't Kevin really, with a mouthful
really
of.
You know, when a guy like Vernon Golston has 13 sacks and is the defensive lineman of the year for his college, you know, that's not a track record. He didn't do that in college.
Yeah, the problem with Vernon now, I might be a little defensive for Andy here because I happen to agree with some of his Vernon Golston, for example. I was very much on board with Andy's thoughts, but the problem with him, I think, was the knock coming out of college. Takes plays off. Doesn't have a great work ethic, and sometimes you don't really know for sure if it's going to work out that way. But there were some warning signs there; they turned out to be accurate. We missed it.
Right.
I mean, what are we going to do? We thought
you're right. Maybe we should send somebody to the combine that knows what they're doing. Like maybe that guy that drafted Chad Jackson and Lawrence Maroney. We should send him. Oh, wait, we do. Everybody makes mistakes. It's an inexact science.
Wow. It's unbelievable how defensive he gets, Fred.
Yeah, I know.
But Sergio Kindle...
I have as many swings as misses.
Had a injury problem
right.
coming out that caused him to drop.
Right.
And then, clearly...
We didn't know he was going
to
drop right
down a flight of stairs
right.
and may never play.
His evaluation has to be deferred.
But I know that they're saying that he might be able to come back. But he may never be the player
Chad Greenway,
that he could
I missed.
Have been. Sergio Kindle in college was a very easily to project into a Patriots uniform. And I'll stand by that, no matter what happens from here on in.
And by the
career.
Way, he went to a 3-4 team outside, you know.
And Larry English was a little small.
Right.
But
a pass rusher.
We wanted him.
We fall in love with pass rushers because we don't have any.
Paul, don't run to his defense.
No, I'm not. I don't care about
he
him.
He doesn't defend me ever.
I don't care about him. I had Larry English that year. I put it on the web.
But what do you say, Fred? What did you say when you,
Yes.
I believe it was when you were questioning Rex Ryan's fetish. You said, quote, I'm attracted to things I don't have. And you're not attracted to feet because you have a pair.
Right.
Well, a pair of feet.
I got a pair, too.
We are attracted to pass rushers because we don't have any.
Right.
We've been lusting after pass rushers for years now, just right. every year. That's why we fall in love with these guys. It's just part of it.
Yeah.
We want them to fall in love with one of them one of these years.
Ken Walter writes in. He says, hey, guys, and future colleagues. Well, things aren't going so well with birthday appearance business I started last week. So far, I've gotten only two calls. One woman asked me if I knew how to get in touch with Adam Vinatieri. I don't. And the other wanted to know if I would show up dressed as Spider-Man. I will. So I was thinking, as Andy said, there is not much going on after the draft, and you guys are probably worried about content for the newspaper. Well, worry no more, my future print pals. I have a great idea for a mail column, and I already have a name for it, Ask KW. Here's an example of a typical letter I would probably get. In my response, keep in mind, I'm not a professional writer yet, so I added some notes where Paul can do some editing. Dear Ken, it's a real honor to write to a legendary Patriot who was responsible for, as Andy Hart calls it, the hold upon which the dynasty was built. You and Adam Vinatieri were certainly the most dangerous special teams tandem the Patriots ever had, sort of the Montana Rice of place kicking. I'm curious, other than Vinatieri, which past Patriots kickers would you most and least like to work with? Signed, KenFan13. Dear KenFan13, thanks for your letter. Yes, Adam, and I made a great team, but you can't forget our long snapper and good friend, Paul. Please add long snapper's name here. As far as who I would most like to work with, I'm a huge fan of Paul. Please add current place kicker's name here and look forward to meeting him at training camp this year. On the other hand, I'm a little grossed out by bare feet, and seeing Tony Franklin's furry hobbit-like foot swing by my nose 20 times a week would make him my least favorite to work with. So, guys, tell me what you think. When you want me to get started and where my office will be, close to the hot tub would be really convenient. Ken Walter, who wants to know if anyone has a Spider-Man costume he could borrow. And, Fred, please don't read this on the air. So
the guy never misses.
Tremendous.
He never misses.
Good stuff.
Except
he's
the ball.
Undefeated.
I thought he was going to do letters of testimonial or complaint from the parties that he was at. That would have been funny, too.
Well, that was very insert long snapper's name there. He should be number two overall in our, if we do a mock listener draft where we draft listeners. You know, obviously the most interesting Patriots fan goes number one overall.
Well, and it can be bought.
Yes.
And I have.
No, the first step would be to like just write down everyone that we can remember.
Right.
You know, and then start sorting them out.
And you get to eliminate like the 1 year wonders, the people that were here for a little while
right.
and then disappeared. You got
well,
the
like,
guys that are long
term. I don't know what happened to Dave in the Philippines. He's gone. And,
What about Jen in Illinois? The
Jen
big
in
Michigan Michigan fan.
You know, what happened to
Mike in Puerto Rico?
Our friend from Spain.
Michael, yeah. Michael never calls
Gloria
him.
Oh. Yeah.
Iggy from Madrid.
Iggy from Madrid. You know, man, I hope they're still listening. You know.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
They haven't written in a long time.
We should have reunion day one of these days. Where we want to ask everybody back in to have a PFW
Why,
family
so
reunion.
So you could hang out in the other room?
Yeah.
And ignore them all like you do?
It's not true.
You know, when Fred and I are out making appearances,
right?
Andy's hiding behind the red velvet
That's
ropes.
That's not true. We had one of the listeners, they came. He remembers taking photos of me and his daughter because I was out and about mingling. It's what I do.
I'm not familiar with that.
Of course you're not.
Dave and Alexandria
I am familiar,
writes
however, with
in.
You hiding behind the velvet ropes.
I was eating.
Dave and Alexandria, Jets of PSW and Eric with a K. Building on your debate from last Thursday, I was curious as to how many spots up in the first round in the draft you'd consider worthwhile to postpone a pick to next year. I know you can't know for sure where the team you'd be trading with would be picking next year, but we'll typically trade a third round this year for a second round next year. So if we were talking about first round picks and you had an offer on the 18th pick, how high, I think he means the 17th, right?
I'd be happy to trade some other team's pick.
How high would you want to move next year to consider it a worthwhile deal? I'd much rather pick 18th this year than 17th next. I think he means 17th. Anyway, but if I could guarantee a pick in the top 10, I'd be willing to take it. But what about picking 14th?
If I could get somehow, we had that good one last year, that last week that Andy and I went at it. If I could guarantee that I could move up at all, I would do it, because I think next year will probably be more filled with blue chippers, because it doesn't seem to be a lot of them this year. I think if you can move up, you probably have a better chance of getting a really good player next year than you do this year. Mr. Combine,
what
do you agree or not?
Doesn't
seem like a lot of people feel there's a lot of locks in this draft. I mean, I think you can see that with the unsettled nature of the top five
to eight
that. Picks.
I don't think there's as much elite talent, but at position of need, pass rusher 3-4, I think there is.
That's a fair.
So I don't want to be. I don't want to hold the ninth pick in the draft next year and go, everybody goes, this is a great year for quarterbacks.
Right. That's a fair rebuttal.
I think there is some pretty good pass rush talent available this year.
Mario from San Benito, I know this isn't Pro Wrestling Weekly, but I just have to say that the match between The Undertaker and Triple H was epic.
I know what the Patriots couldn't.
I know wrestling is somewhat fake in who wins and loses, but that was among the most entertaining things I've watched. By the way, Undertaker won, if you didn't know. Anyway, on to my question.
But got carted off in a stretcher.
Somewhat fake.
Well, to be fair, it is not totally fake.
Like, it's completely scripted.
It's completely scripted.
So that's fake. I mean,
but
they actually have
you
to
can
be...
get hurt.
Yes, there's blood, there's bruises,
no,
there's cuts,
about...
there's pain.
No.
The outcome is scripted.
As my brother has said for years, you know, Rich Perillo, that great philosopher that he is, you can't fake gravity.
Right.
I mean,
when
this,
they throw mankind
each
off
other
a cage,
around, there's no question
and he goes
that.
Through a table. I know the table's designed to take some,
but
he's still
you can't,
falling 17 feet or whatever.
But you can't credit The Undertaker for being a true great because he won again.
He's 19-0 at WrestleMania.
It's predetermined who wins.
They should have had, what's his name from the Dolphins? They should have had him do some promo work with them.
Sperano?
No.
I was joking because Sperano
the guy with
was
glasses.
Thing.
Undefeated season guy. The running back.
Mercury Morris.
Yeah,
Morris?
They should have had him do some WrestleMania promos.
The loudmouth.
Well, he is.
He was awesome.
Mario's question
Remember
is
how good he was at the Super Bowl?
I didn't say he was bad at the job, but he's a good loudmouth.
I loved watching him. I loved watching the Dolphins back then.
Oh, no, I wasn't
I meant
about
him.
That.
Larry Zonka, Jim
Kicking
him.
I was talking about the Super Bowl in 07 when he had those
press conferences. We need to add
press
Dolphins. You were a Dolphins fan at that point?
No, I wasn't.
There's a shock. They went undefeated, Paul, and Fred was a Dolphins fan.
But
I don't think they were that good.
I loved watching them.
He rooted for anyone who won.
No,
it's the only reason he likes the Patriots now.
I hate Miami. I can't root for them.
You're not a true Patriots fan.
Mario in San Benito says, do you guys think that Patton's TD catch in Super Bowl 36 would still be called a catch under today's rules? I ask because I seem to remember his left foot coming inbounds, but then his elbow falls out of bounds before his right foot hits the ground. I may be wrong on that, but I'll leave it to you to sort it out.
I believe his ass hits.
Yeah,
one ass equals 2 feet.
And that play, that specific play, the rule of that play has not changed from 01 to now. So if it was, you know, a touchdown then. Now, it could have been, if you could be arguing that it was incorrectly called back then. It wasn't. I think he, like Andy said, I think his butt was down.
Buttocks.
But there is no change of any interpretation of that particular play.
Right.
He's either inbounds or out of bounds.
Brent writes in, hey, man of PFW and Andy and Eric.
Andy is
trying to go both ways. I love Quinn, but now maybe I built him up so much.
No.
So if he's a failure, don't
look
at me.
Maybe we built him up too much.
Andy, I think we have to start saying you will be by, and I mean by later when you are late. What? I don't know.
What is going on in there?
There's a lot of laughing going on. And
no paying attention to the show.
It's you. It's actually Fred's laugh.
John in South Carolina, I'm actually listening to the show during a vendor presentation.
Be a good presentation.
If the poor schmuck only knew his chances of selling us this product are as plausible as Eric finding love in a downtown New Bedford bar. I could see Eric being, you know, put on a pool table and being taken advantage
okay,
of.
That's what I thought.
Oh, my God.
I was wondering if that's the reference they were going for.
Yeah, I just thought they were talking like prostitution or something.
Well, swear.
The person I see falling through the draft the fastest is DaQuan Bowers.
That was my pick, but Andy kind of debunked me.
And P.S., I sent an email about changing my address, and the subscription department handled it perfectly. So there you go. Carol.
The intern must have been in that day.
Carol wasn't around to get that nice compliment.
It wasn't her doing.
Brooklyn Matt writes in.
I'd rather Brooklyn Decker.
Hey, Andy, I have a question today. Remember earlier in the show you said the upcoming Patriots iPhone app will not only blow you away, it will blow you? In fact, I bet if they designed it to actually do that, units would fly off the shelf. Andy, how does your brain's frontal lobe decision-making center actually decide to say that out loud? Andy, that's junior high boys bathroom-level humor, not to mention your earlier quoting of Eddie Guerrero, a freaking professional wrestler. Nice performance today, you dink.
Wow. Eddie Guerrero?
Brooklyn Matt.
Who's Eddie Guerrero?
I know who Eddie Guerrero is, but
I never heard of Eddie Guerrero.
I may have borgesed that because I didn't really know I was quoting him.
I don't know who Eddie Guerrero is.
I've never heard of him.
He's a wrestler. Never heard of Billy Bear.
He's got a mustache. He's from the famous Guerrero family.
I've heard of Eddie Guerrero.
He's related to Pedro?
I think from the similar, or the story was that they were family. I believe. He's from the Guerrero family. He's cousins with the little guy, the Mexican with the mask. What's it? Viva la Raza? No, not that guy. That's a different guy.
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Are you going to tell me men wouldn't buy that? I mean, we can pretend that only junior high kids like sex, but I'm pretty sure men of all ages think of boobs and sex all the time.
The junior high thing was in relation to anybody who would say it.
I'm just saying
humor.
What people think. The man show.
No.
Was that targeted at junior
you're saying
high?
What
no, that's
junior
men.
High kids.
No,
think.
Did you see the success of the man show? Hello?
Well, they had girls jumping up and down on trampolines.
Because that's what appeals to men. The same thing that appeals to junior high boys. Boobies.
Andy, the backlash against Andy continues. Larry says, always right, Andy. What about your rant on Sebastian Vollmer? You yelled at Fred for 10 minutes how he could not play, was picked 5 rounds too early
in
the Jets' first pick in 2008. Just examples. So.
The Jets' first pick in 2008.
That would be probably Golston, right?
Oh, yeah.
So.
I was off on him.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
So are two of the better respected defensive coaches in football, and Eric Mangini.
Anthony in Naples is on the line. Hey, Anthony.
What's going on, guys?
We're just doing a radio show. What are you doing?
Just ripping Andy.
I'm eating some lunch right now. I figured I'd give a call.
What are you having?
Just some cottage cheese. Get a little bit of protein in me.
Huh. Our listeners eat the worst lunches.
I'm having a chocolate chip cookie.
Between you and strippers, do your husbands
eat? What do you mean by worst lunches?
Cottage cheese sucks. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. It's terrible. Oh.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to eat it every day, but once in a while, cottage cheese
is
good.
And it's only good when you get, like, the ones that you can mix, like, strawberries and stuff in with.
Put a little peach on it.
Yeah.
Nice.
I actually get some, low-fat classic granola. I mix it in there, so
it's a little bit. But it's not a chicken part. Oh, makes it go down easier. You just made my point for me. Cottage cheese sucks.
But actually, let me see how many servings are in here. The whole point, I pretty much get about 48 grams of protein just eating this container.
I've heard other things have protein in them, too. Do you drink them?
No, not at all. That's your forte.
Okay, what do you got before we get in trouble?
I'm just calling to say what's up. It's pretty much a boring season. Off-season. Right now, what's the word right now? Have they gone into court yet and had a
tomorrow, Wednesday? Cross your fingers.
Tomorrow.
Yep. So we'll see.
That's pretty much it.
Even tomorrow, there really won't be any definitive word either way. So we're just hoping that they both get tired of this and just sit down and get it done.
But is it too simplistic to say if you're a football fan, you're rooting for the players because you want an injunction that prevents the lockout? You want business to continue, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't. Go ahead.
I'll be honest with you. Here's the thing. I was actually siding a lot with the owners. I'm kind of split on a couple of issues. You know, don't get me wrong. I love Robert Kraft. I actually appreciate a lot what he did as in keeping the football team in New England, even though I think he never would have moved it anyways because I think his heart was in the state. But whatever you have to do to get the new stadium is fine by me. But, he's one of the few owners where I think he's a true fan and he's not meddlesome. You know, and again, I love and I respect Robert Kraft. But the thing where I felt like he kind of swayed me against him and as against the owners when he made that statement during the Super Bowl saying that it was a frivolous lawsuit and that, you know, the players need to quit wasting time and money and get the lawyers out of it, which I kind of understand. You do got to have to get to the negotiating table, but it was just almost, you know, he took that stance as in, like, you should know better or you don't know as much as we do and stop wasting your time in the courts. But in the end, the players won, and they were right in it, you know. So I'm kind of mixed as in, like, which side to take.
No, I know. And, you know, even that case is up for appeal, right. You know, so. You know, who knows what the – but the thing is with these lawsuits, they can go on forever. You know,
no, I was just asking about specifically the injunction to prevent the lockout. You're kind of rooting for the players because if they win that, you could have an advancement. You could have some progress. You might not agree with the players on every issue or anything,
right.
But at least it could start the wheels in motion to get back to free agency,
right.
Camps, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, it's a stare down right now, and it's like we're in the off season, so it's just like, to me, it doesn't really get to the nitty-gritty until, like, June. You know, when I start getting scared when you start getting past that June mark and getting to the July, because now you're affecting camps, you know, so everybody's going to be a little bit behind. It might affect the preseason.
Here's what I'm hoping the judge says. I hope the judge says to both sides, look, you are granted exclusions from the antitrust laws in America. Unless you want us to start taking a second look at that, which is the last thing the league wants, get back and start talking. You know, it's almost like two people in a divorce. The judge says, look, I can make a ruling here, but I would much prefer if you two go sit down and figure this out yourselves before I have to get involved. And I hope they give them one last chance. Let's just do this and get it done.
Yeah.
You know,
I
think the players have an opportunity here because the owners are asking for something. They're asking for a give back.
Mm-hmm.
That gives leverage to the players because, okay, they can take that and say, okay, maybe we'll think about that, but here's some other things that we want that have nothing to do with money. Well, it all has to do with money, but, you know, the alumni stuff, the practice stuff, the safety stuff, the health benefits and all that. And I think we're seeing the owners giving them some of that stuff. So I think it would have been better if the players, instead of walking out and filing that lawsuit, should have played on that, said, okay, they're starting to give us some other things. Maybe we can pile up enough of those so it's worth giving them back something. And I think they missed that opportunity, and that was stupid on the players' part.
Yeah, and just, you know, so it stays even. You know, I think one thing, the players, where I feel wrong, how they took their stance, well, not the whole players, but D'Amore Smith, you know, when he came out and made that statement, you know, they want a war, we'll bring them a war. It's just like, come on, you know, you don't have to say
that. I mean, he's also said other things recently, like the owners have not contributed to the players' pension fund. That's just not a fact. That's just false. I mean, I think they've invested like over $200 million in the last 5 years in the players' pension fund. It's some ridiculous number like that. And the last offer on the table had more stuff that they were willing to give. So that rhetoric just doesn't help. It doesn't help. You know?
Can you answer this, Fred?
What?
You know, because I've talked about this with a bunch of friends of mine. And I want to say, if I'm not wrong, back in 2001, 2000s, give or take a year or so, wasn't the salary cap around $78 million?
I don't know.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Maybe 72.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Because I've been just using these vague numbers. And what I find, you know, obviously the rate in which it grew was really fast, if you really think about it. Because I think with the last salary cap, you know, previous year, wasn't it around like 127?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you know why it grows that quickly, right?
Well, it's because the revenue grows from the TV.
Right.
So
that's
only another indication that the game is in very strong hands.
The 40% that the owners got grew just as quickly.
Yeah.
That chunk.
Yeah. Right. No, I know. I know it grows. But, you know,
it's a strict formula. That's how it's calculated. It's based on the revenues.
It's based on the audit that the independent auditors do, and then it's all factored into the TV contracts and
the
all that stuff.
The percentage that the players got didn't change. It was just the number grew because the pie grew.
Right.
No, I understand that, too. Like, I understand all of that. But sometimes there's a lot of other things, you know, you have to take in for account is like when you're an owner, you know, just things in general. Like, you know, 2001 was a different market at that time to just do anything versus just football, you know, like just to run a business, you know, versus mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. you know, because of inflation. Like, I don't know. I sometimes take a side to the owners. It's like, personally, like when I look at it, like when you invest like a $500 million, let's say at the low end, to, you know, $900 million for a football team, like towards the higher end to a billion. To me, when I look at the percentage, what they get back in a year, I'm like, I would never, to me, it's a bad investment.
Well, they're making an awful lot of money on bad investments then.
I know it's a little bit guaranteed, but sometimes you got the way I look at it, you could honestly take that money and make a heck of a lot more with it in other venues.
Oh, I'm sure they could.
Other ventures.
Yeah, I'm sure they could.
No, but this is the business they've chosen. Right. And, you know, to Paul's point, it's based on a formula. Everyone grew together. And
I mean, the owners made a hell of a lot more last year than they did in 2001.
The fact that it's grown so fast shows that the league is doing well. And again, this goes back to where I think the players misuse their leverage. There's no doubt that the league has had unbelievable growth and that it's unbelievably strong. You know, so the fact that the owners are at their owners are asking for something gave the players leverage, and they didn't use it the right way.
Yeah. And my other problem too with the owners, it's not as in individually each owner. Like it really frustrates me when like it's almost the owners need to like they kind of have to agree upon themselves. You know, I feel like there's owners at the bottom that want the Jerry Jones type of money, and you know, instead of like discussing between themselves, they went for the players first. They went towards the players to try to get more money for everybody else in their owners group. When I really think it's just like sometimes, you know what, you can't keep up with the Joneses, no pun intended. You know, you got to be happy with your 32nd ranked team, you know, and make a little bit less money. You're not going to make Jerry Jones type money. You know what I mean? There's only one market like that. And mm-hmm. I like, you know, like a Paul Brown, for instance, with Cincinnati. You know what? Be happy that you're in the NFL, period. There's only 32 spots at this point.
Right.
You know, you're not going to make his type of money.
Well, that's a whole different discussion. You know, what you're talking about is how the owners split the money up amongst themselves is a whole thing. And that's, you know, some of the players say.
A lot of people think that's the bigger issue.
Fred, they went after the players to try to make the little guy happy.
I know. And I was about to.
I think you're right, Anthony.
And I was about to say, a lot of players say, well, when you figure that out, then come back to us.
Right.
But, you know, the owners have kind of, the owners are now giving money to the smaller market teams that come from the larger teams. You know, the mm-hmm. Patriots and the Cowboys and the Giants are giving money to the Panthers and the Jaguars and the Browns. They're not happy about it, but they are now as we speak. So, you know, they are.
It's frustrating when you're a fan and you see the evidence out there, like Paul Brown Stadium. Sell the darn thing. You know, sell the naming right.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's like,
right.
I don't get it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, it's frustrating as a fan. It's just, you know, and it's really annoying. I almost look at it as this is going to be the first time where we actually have the draft, and then maybe free agency, which is going to be different. But mm-hmm. it's just like, I wish free agency was going on right now.
Yeah, so no, I hear
I
you.
I know what my team is going to do in the draft, as in their needs, you know?
Right.
Now,
but I won't complain if the draft or free agency starts and they get this done shortly after the draft, because I think that'll be interesting, too, to see how it works in reverse. Okay, now I've drafted my guys. How does that affect who I go after in free agency? It may not be as bad as you think, but it has to happen fairly quickly. You know,
well, as long as you're able to have a regular free agency period.
I don't think it's bad.
I think it's good.
It's just different.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's good. I think it could work out better because free agency is more of a known. You can decide what you want to go after, whereas the draft, no matter how much preparation you do, you can't guarantee yourself that the guy that you need, the need you want to fill is going to be able to be filled. Whereas you can decide in free agency how much money you're willing to spend and then decide, you know, from there if you're willing to spend it.
But, Anthony, the one thing I disagree with you on is I think this is already affecting things, and I think as soon as the draft ends, it starts to affect things dramatically.
Yes.
That rookies don't get playbooks.
Can I predict, what'd you say, with playbooks?
I mean, literally, Taylor Price couldn't learn the offense last year, and he got his playbook.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to make it harder and harder and harder for free agents and rookies
to be ready to play, and it's going to hurt your brand of football come September, October, whenever you play.
Well, how about this, Andy? How about the guys that I guess are depending on the rehab that might have a chance to come back next year, but they're probably not having rehab right now because they're locked out.
But they can get rehab.
Yeah, they get.
You can't
rehab.
Get a playbook anywhere else.
You they can't get assimilated to your team.
You can get rehab of the same quality or higher elsewhere outside of your stadium. You can't get the playbook, the football, and what
but
you need
do
to do your job.
But they pay for that out of their own pocket? And I'm talking about maybe the guy that really can't afford it, you know, the bottom tier of the roster that might have to retire early.
Well, I think there's probably a couple examples
guessing.
Of that. I think it's few and far between.
Yeah.
I mean, most of these guys, you have agents. You don't think the agent would foot the bill and say, if the guy signs another contract, I'll get this money back. You know, there's ways to do it for most people. You're right. Maybe one or two guys, it won't work out, and they'll get caught up in the system. But I think the bigger issue is the quality of play, the ability of guys to become members of a team and be productive in their job as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's frustrating. All right, guys.
All right. Enjoy the cottage cheese.
Thanks, Anthony.
Okay, that's
all your protein.
Anthony from Naples.
You're a bad person.
Cottage cheese is not good.
I agree. I don't like cottage cheese.
It's pretty gross looking.
It's good once in a while. Oli writes in.
When was the last time you ate cottage cheese?
Oh, God, years ago.
Thank you.
It's still. It's
that's
not,
how good it is.
But they haven't changed cottage cheese.
No, that's
then.
My point. If it was so good, you would have had it in the last 5 years.
It doesn't
years.
Come up a lot. Okay?
Reminds him of his thighs.
You know?
you know what?
What?
When was the last time you had a brownie?
Jesus.
What?
When was the last time you had a brownie?
I can't remember.
You've had one recently. When was the last time you had a cookie? You've had one recently. When was the last time you've had a chicken parm? You've had one recently. Because they're good. And good things you tend to have more recently.
If I was being served lunch and it was cottage cheese and fruit, I would eat it.
Well, you'd eat anything.
Right. I eat what's available. I mean, I don't see cottage cheese on the Omega menu. Not that I would order it, but
maybe
it's just
I'll make
not
that,
on there.
I'll make that suggestion next time I call
can
them
you
up.
Add cottage
they
cheese
don't put that
me.
On any salads, can you?
I'll demand they put it on or we'll stop ordering.
It's not good.
It's not bad.
There's a reason people pair something else with it. Because it's not good.
Andy, do you not eat it because it looks disgusting?
It looks gross. Yeah, I don't like the texture.
That's my
I don't
main
like
thing.
The taste. Even when I eat it, I've had my wife sometimes buys those little ones. It's like a tub, and half of it is
fruit,
strawberries,
right.
And half of it.
There's no redeeming quality to cottage cheese.
You're just trying to get the strawberry on as fast as you can to eat that, because
it's pretty good.
It's like how many times have you had carrot
cottage
cake without the cream
crackers
cheese frosting?
Is really good.
Oh no, it isn't really good.
I'm telling you, it's good.
No, it isn't.
I just
so why haven't you had it in 5 years if it's so really
there's
good?
There's a lot of things I haven't had because I have to get it for myself. You know. When I was younger, it was just in the
house. It's like putting out season tickets. Takes forever.
You know?
I just think our show is fantastic. We just had an argument about cottage cheese.
I mean, he says it's really good. When's the last time you had it? Oh, I don't know. Never.
I like sardines, too, and I can't remember the last time I had sardines.
Oh, God.
But you can get them anytime you want
it. But I just don't do it. I mean,
Fred's
there's a
like
lot of
flipper,
things that I could get anytime I want. I just don't
Wait,
do it.
Sardines are the full fish, right?
Yeah, they come in the can.
Yeah,
we should get some. To
put them on
the
crackers.
Show. Whenever Fred does something
but
good,
why
just
can't
throw
you?
A
sardine. Will you
just apparently
be quiet?
Fred likes a lot of stuff on crackers that he never eats.
You never go like food shopping. Like
no.
this whole like I can't get it because it's not in my house. But,
I don't go food shopping.
I mean, they have those things inside supermarkets.
Do you go food shopping?
Sure.
Yeah. Robert,
next like, question.
Got to climb to Everest to get the cottage cheese
well,
off the
I mean,
top.
That's how he describes it.
The only reason everyone starts their emails assuming we can't get Robert Quinn is not because we all want him in New England.
Because you don't
want
to hear me say, get Quinn!
Right, if we don't preface the email like that, all you do is say we should get Robert Quinn. It
well,
gets
we
tiresome to hear it 100
You're
times
tiresome.
A show when I, for one, would like some discussion of other names. I also personally don't see Robert Quinn as the perfect fit for New England. He has a number of issues. He missed the entire year of football. He will be moving to a new position. This is especially important if there are no mini camps for him to learn. There is also a level of competition he got his sacks against. I haven't even mentioned that he looked stiff in coverage at the combine. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't take him at 17, but there is no way Bill trades up for a guy with so many questions, especially if this involves using the other first-round pick. That is too valuable a commodity to just throw in on a deal for a guy who isn't the perfect fit. You seem happy to throw away a pick for a guy who could be another Devin McCourty, who was picked at about that spot last year. Bill will pick the best player.
Andy was more thinking about, you know, Chad Jackson, who was picked about that spot.
Bill will pick the best player
Maroney,
he has
Brandon
on his
Merriweather,
board. Quinn won't
Daniel
be
Graham.
Coming to New England. We can please not have him clog up the airwaves for the next month. Instead, how about discussing options for right defensive end? It would be good to get away from the different starter each week mentality of last year. Why do you think? Who do you think is the best fit? Cameron Jordan, J.J. Watt, Cameron Hayward, Muhammad Wilkerson, or Kendrick Ellis?
I like Jordan.
Yeah, I would go with Eric's guy. I think he seems to be. Yeah, he seems to be. I mean, there is no. I mean, if that's what we're basing it on, we don't have to make any projection. It's the fit. Cameron Jordan played 3-4 end.
Right.
So I know I don't have to worry about any projection or anything. I've seen it, and I can decide for myself if his skill set would translate. But I still think pass rusher is the biggest need, and if not Robert Quinn, my argument would be who, and whichever guy you decide, you're making a projection. Because there are really no, maybe Von Miller.
Von Miller a little bit, Justin Houston a little bit.
There's very few guys out there that you don't have to sit there and wonder if that's, you know, if he can do it. You know, everybody is really going to be doing something in New England that he didn't do in college at that spot.
For the most part.
Josh from Waterloo will close out this show with his email. Already? Hey, heterosexuals, and especially Eric. So I showed the infamous Eric clip from Patriots Today to my wife, whom I consider to be the smartest person I know. In her infinite wisdom, she solved the second great debate of PFW. She said immediately after the video played, there is no way Eric is gay. Gay men don't dress that bad. Can't argue with that. Welcome to the club, Eric. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of a very special off-season edition of PFW in Progress.
So special you got editioned twice in the same sentence.
We'll see you on Thursday.
Old? No hair? Fine. But Paul's getting sick of these fat jokes.
I'm not fat. I have a different life choice.
Patriots.com Radio.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.